is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show. 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia. 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Fleeting.
Howdy.
Fleeting.
How you doing anyway?
Hey! How you doing?
How you doing anyway? Is your microphone on, Buzz? I ain't hearing a thing, friend.
He's nodding. He's saying yes, but it's not on.
He's over there doing that thing he's doing. Look at him.
Hit it.
Do that thing you do.
It's like he's being a mime almost.
Hit it.
He's checking to see if something's plugged in.
Buzz Burbank, not on the air. Currently not on the air, Buzz.
Wearing a shirt from the Michael Caine collection.
Bippity, boppity, boo.
Now, Buzz, why are you continuing to speak over there when it's obvious we can't hear you?
Buzz wearing his shirt from Act 2, Scene 4 of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Now, Rob is over there.
Rob hit it. Didn't work.
Just beating on Buzz.
Rob enjoys pounding.
There you go.
Forcing.
Beat Hello. It, Rob. Just beat it.
Oh, boy. It's our first day back. I certainly hope he's not going to have to move over here.
Oh, no. We can't share a studio with him.
Not the first day back. That's against the rules.
Not the first day back.
That is against the rules.
You know what he's wearing?
We need everything to be the way it's supposed to be.
Not when he's wearing a blouse like that.
Buzz, did you get that blouse on your vacation?
No, he's shaking his head. No. Hi, Mr. Producer. What's happening?
Bear. You know Bear, the engineer?
Yes.
He's going to come in and pull Buzz's module.
Ah, very good. Yeah. Did you get a chance to check out his top?
Did you say his nodule?
Yeah, buddy.
What's his top made out of?
Buzz's top?
Yeah.
Not a natural fiber to be seen.
Go feel it. It appears to be a silken nature.
Bear's coming in now. Now, Bear's always quite the fashion plate. Wearing a very interesting T-shirt today. Actually, he's dressed down for Bear.
Yes. No. Although, you know, hi, Bear. Yeah, no one can hear you. But Bear is the engineer. He's a black guy. And Buzz is dressed more like a black guy than Bear is right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that the shirt is 90% rayon, 10% lycra.
I'd say it's 100% taffeta.
I think it would melt, though, if you got it close to a heat source.
It looks like something that Pierce Bronson would have worn in the Crown Heights affair.
Is it see-through?
Thomas Crown.
Is it see-through?
Thomas, what did I say? Thomas Crown? What is it?
Crown Heights affair. You said it's the Thomas Crown affair.
No.
But you know what I meant.
It's Thomas Brosnan in the Pierce Crown affair.
Mike, it is see-through if you let your imagination run wild.
Look at that thing. How do you get it to hold its shape without wrinkles, Buzz? He's communicating non-verbally.
I think he can't really tell us.
He bought it at the Kenny Rogers website.
If you've not seen Kenny Rogers recently, do yourself.
I have,
and I don't mean like go see his goddamn hooky show.
I mean seeing him on TV.
Check him out now. First off,
Flouncy.
First off, the eyes. Okay. what kind of plastic surgery
has
been done?
It's horrible
to tighten that face. Second, the hair.
The hair, right.
Something different. He's got like the Julius Caesar hair. I heard something pop in Buzz's board there. He's got like the Clooney Julius Caesar haircut happening. Buzz is attempting to speak, and we're hearing nothing.
Much better.
Bear, whatever you do, make sure he stays over there. Because we need everything to be normal.
Touch that shirt, Bear. That seems to me to be a shirt that a man of color would wear. Touch Buzz's shirt. And can Bear hear me?
I think Bear can hear me.
Would you please touch Buzz's shirt and tell me...
See, what kind of material is that?
Does that feel like a white man's shirt or a black man's shirt? Rob, would you go get the answer, please?
Well, give us a thumbs up. Would Bernie Mac wear it?
Man.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Yep.
Bernie Mac shirt.
It's a Bernie Mac shirt. That's what he's got on today. You know, we've gone for 2 effing weeks.
I know. I thought we were getting something new.
Oh, that's supposed to be on the, you know, on the horizon.
So that's late summer, if anything, right?
Yeah, well, fortunately, we got 4 hours a day to fill, and I know at least 15 seconds we can fill. right now while we wait for Buzz.
Two men side by side for 20 years.
Hey, we mentioned it's great to be back.
Such devotion.
Now it appears that Bear is really doing nothing. Apparently the situation is beyond repair.
Broke back. Is he writing a note to us?
Oh,
he's standing, holding up 1 minute.
Says, give it 1 second. And you know what? I think Buzz, I'll give him some credit. I bet that's a medium. You know, normally.
Yeah, because it drapes on it. It's not tight. It would look foolish if it was tight.
Buzz normally likes dressing like Simon Cowell. You know, the real tight, like itty-bitty Britney Spears shirts is what Buzz normally wears.
But Buzz has actually got a shirt that seems to be flowing.
Now he's holding up.
Large?
You're indicating you're a loser? I get it. Large. Are you doing an L like Laverne and Shirley? That's it. No, it's a large.
You know what this means?
What's that? Do it again. You just did like the L. No. What does that mean?
Large in charge.
L-I-C?
Or it could be.
L-I-F-C?
No, I don't know. I messed it up.
You know what this means?
What does that mean?
That's worse than the finger.
Really?
I just read that in the newspaper today.
If you do that under your chin?
That if you're an Italian and you do this to somebody, it's worse than giving them the finger. If you do like this, like, it's like saying, F you and F your mother and F, and incidentally, have everybody else F your mother too.
That's part of the Sacramento dance, what you just did.
Mm-hmm.
We've used that before.
Yep. They're still struggling over there, trying to get it working.
Struggling.
Well, while we wait.
Struggling. I don't care if Buzz is struggling.
Let's start with some fan mail, okay? Because I know when we're gone for a couple of weeks that, you know, it's nice to come in. And I said to Rob when I walked in today, I said, okay, where is the... Now, hold on. Why is he packing up his stuff? No. You're going home? Oh, okay.
He's going home. Good night.
Now, hold on. We have to decide if we can tolerate having Buzz in the studio for our first day back. And see, this makes us sound like total asses.
It's
we're so put upon to have Buzz work in the same studio. Well, this is a very cramped studio that we're in to begin with, which is why Buzz is in the next room.
It doesn't affect you that much.
That's true.
You just don't, you don't like giving up the foot space?
The square footage. It's like I've got, you know, over here I got an 1,800 square foot condo, and you know, it's half of it's going to be taken.
What if we put him in that corner?
I wouldn't want to keep my back to him.
Thank you for smiling.
All right, Buzz, would you be comfortable in that corner?
Put him in the corner.
Sure.
Bring him in the corner.
All
right. Make him suck his thumb. So anyway, I said to Rob, where's the fan mail? Come back from 2 weeks on the road.
And he gave you some.
And he said, I've got it right here. And you won't believe, an incredible amount came in. One letter. We got one letter. So we're going to make, little Georgie Porgie sit where? Right over here?
Two.
Right to my right, and he'll be on microphone number two. Okay.
Howdy, neighbor.
Hi, neighbor. Are you okay? Hey, you can put your feet up, too.
There you go. Now, let's see. Buzz is now, let me see if I got that microphone. Hello? Come in, Buzz.
Hello.
There he is.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, hi.
Ah, and you know what? Hey, maybe this will be good. You know what? Maybe this will take him down a peg. Because, yeah. Hold on.
How does that work?
Hold on. Because now listen to this.
Yes.
He has to operate now.
He smells dreamy.
He has to operate with the same crappy microphones that we do.
This is true.
We don't have the luxury of having that Buzz microphone over there.
That wonderful, like, exotic microphone that he uses in his own studio.
It's not the mic.
He's pushing
what
a little
bit.
What
is the cologne you're wearing today?
CK1.
And the shirt?
Different on everybody, but better on me.
And the shirt? Mike's actually not touching the shirt.
Wow.
Now that you're in the studio, what does it feel like?
It's like nothing I've ever touched before.
Exactly.
It's fascinating. It's a fascinating hybrid.
That's the idea.
Problem was his board, not Buzz.
Yeah, we know now.
We know now. The problem was the board,
right.
Not Buzz. So Bear,
the rule will be Buzz is over here permanently. If you get the microphone fixed, you're on the show for the rest of the afternoon.
And he has to do news.
Bear has to do the news.
All right, so Buzz is joining us in studio. Buzz, as I'm sure you heard, congratulations. We've all received some fan mail.
Excellent.
And we're going to start today with the fan mail.
One letter poured in.
That's how I'll be looking at him today.
Just turning your head and looking longingly at him.
We're back from vacation, aren't we, Buzz?
Yes, we are, Mike.
Yes, we are.
Come on, boys. Jesus Christ.
What? Nothing. What did we do?
Yeah, what did we do?
What we do?
It's not you. It's this place. This goddamn place.
You mean it's not going to be like Wednesday where we're already burned out? It'll be like it'll be minutes into the show.
Bear?
Hey.
You? Yeah, we can hear that.
Bear, you want to say something to it?
Say something.
1, 2, can you hear that?
Hey, say what's happening.
What's happening?
There you go. Buzz, get the F out of here.
Get out of here, Buzz.
Goodbye.
Get back over there.
Goodbye, turkeys.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it while it lasted.
All right, now we'll be able to get things
all
going.
Is right with the world now.
There we go. Thank you, Bear. Beautiful job. Thank you very much.
And you?
Yes?
Well, like in the last 2 weeks, you couldn't have him just check out that goddamn room?
That worked on Friday night when I came in.
You're a liar.
I am.
Yeah, I know you're a total liar.
Did everybody get Rob's welcome back to the show email?
Buzz?
Yes, we did.
Buzz?
Yes.
There.
Hi.
Wow. Now we can rock and roll.
All's right with the world.
Before we get to the fan mail, Buzz is over there in his room. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Cue the Foreigner.
Two men side by side, the tawny heels.
Tawny.
So now, what's happening now, Buzz?
We're putting the screws back in.
Okay. Listen, Kenny, you certainly can pick up the microphone and bring it towards you to speak.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Rogers?
All right.
I mean, Buzz is like standing very petitely behind Bear.
If he stands up, he avoids wrinkles.
That's right. May I?
Yeah. So, how are you now?
I'm well, thank you.
How are you now? Good.
Everything works.
Everything's right with the world now, right?
Yeah,
so now everything is working.
Everything's
fine.
As it should be.
That was close.
We are all set to go.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
What an M-E-double-S.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Hey.
Hey, I was thinking about you the other day when you you obviously were the one who burned up that cruise ship with your cigar. Just wonder if you're going to get a chance. Are they going to let you back on one of those things or what?
Guilty.
That was guilty. That's amazing how you fled and you got yourself to safety and everybody else was really in it for a while.
Yep.
Those things go up like nothing. You know?
Tell me about it, Mike. I'm an international man of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
After all, you know, hey, they never caught me in Aruba.
Mm-hmm. Never happened, no.
Aruba, Jamaica, come on, I want to take you. That poor girl. Yeah. I read about that, too, you know, like everybody did. You know, as I was sitting on a sandy beach.
What happened?
Well, they still haven't found that chick at Aruba all those months later.
And why is that news?
And because they got some guy out who says that he might know where she was, so they were, like, digging up the beach again.
Did they send out, like, the people? I thought that when I saw that, I didn't hear the audio, and I saw, like, the rows of two walking along the beach. I mean, that was new stuff? I thought they were showing old footage.
No, that's new. They're still looking for her.
No.
Still looking for her.
Been a year, right?
Good luck. You want to find her? Look at my freezer.
The only news I watch on vacation. One kind of news. Fishing Report.
Uh-huh.
She stands alone. Of course, I spend my entire vacation watching ESPN Deportes.
And, of course, putting your cigar out on the curtains.
Stop it. Stop it, please. Dear Don and Mike, here's the fan letter to start the day's show. Dear Don and Mike, oh, and you should know it comes from someone who is incarcerated. Man's name is Milton Urado, and he's in the joint in Orange, Virginia.
Now, we haven't gotten prison in a long time, and it usually comes in bunches, and we love it.
We encourage our cons to write the show.
Yeah. Prison mail is usually the best mail we get.
And even though he's no longer working on the show, if you have any sexual fantasies at all involving Charlie Stossel,
please send them along.
A guy that used to be our movie man on the show, wearing his Boy Scout uniform.
Sure, he's a public figure.
Send them on. So here we go. Dear Don and Mike, hey dudes, what's going on? Same old BS. I know that is how it is. Anyhow.
That's and incidentally, I should say before you continue that is like all prison mail that we receive. I call it prison sentence structure.
Anyhow, check it out. I just wanted to drop you all a cup full of lines.
Mm-hmm.
I am a 5-year listener. I've been hooked to your show the first time I heard it. That was 2002, or sometime around that time.
Uh-huh.
But around that time, I was dealing, had, I wanted, now, I've been to prison and back to jail. Note, long story.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I hate life in prison now.
Sure.
So when I go back to prison, no more Don and Mike.
Mm.
I can't get you on my radio, so this is goodbye. Thanks for all the good laughs, for you helped me when tears would fall down my face. Hey now, don't jump the gun. I'm no pussy. S-word. I'm locked up shooting dudes in the head and knocking dudes out. Cool. Oops, I mean cold.
Yeah.
Cold dead. Didn't mean to kill dude.
Of course not.
Just knock him out.
That's right.
But hey, S-word happens anyhow, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fly. You all take care. Oh, and Buzz, when Mike gets mad at ya,
uh-huh.
smoke a J with him. He will cool down. Okay?
What do you say, Mike?
I'm gone. Why not? Flatline. From hell. No, no. And it's not that hot down here. And then he drew a nice picture of a hand giving the finger.
Well, I think it's kind of a demonic hand.
It is. So that's.
Am I to understand from that letter that he no longer can listen to us where he is?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
That letter, you know, just saying bye-bye.
Right. Yep, I think they were going to put him in the hole.
And does it sound also like maybe he got into a fight with the guy that he tried to hit and punch and knock out and he killed
Don't
him
know.
Accidentally? Yeah.
Postmarked on 30 March.
That's happened.
So just last week this was postmarked. Anyway, that's the fan mail we got when we were gone.
Well, that's nice.
It's always nice to hear from our listeners.
We love the prison mail.
Such as they are. And hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, hey.
Hey,
guys. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, I was wondering if you saw Dick Van Patten on tonight talking about his stroke.
No, you know, we've really blown this opportunity to talk to a major celebrity about a major illness. We had it on our list of to-do things.
Mm-hmm. How did he look on the show? How did he look on Entertainment Tonight?
Oh, he was hilarious. The whole spin they were trying to put on it was the serious stroke, you know, the serious thing that happened to Dick Van Patten. He was doing shtick through the whole thing.
Sure. Was his speech affected?
Oh, no, he was fine. He just said that his leg was numb. He said it was all tingly.
Oh, okay, all right.
And that was the only problem he had.
Know,
but I was wondering if you were going to give him a call.
We've got it on the list. We probably won't get to it today. What is, you know, look at how we've already dicked around and wasted, and, you know, and thanks for that, Buzz.
You're welcome.
I mean, really, would it kill you to come in here and just turn the stuff on? And just, I'm just kidding you,
yes,
Buzz. That's
yes,
not,
it
that's
would.
Yes, it would. It's not your job, Buzz.
No.
Thank you, my friend. Dick Van Patten, it was on our list to do. Somehow we didn't get to it.
Yeah, that guy's a crack up. All right. Take care, guys.
It's a crack up.
I like that he's making fun of his own ailment. It doesn't surprise me.
Bye. Or, you know, maybe, what the hell's that?
Applause.
I'm aware of that.
Oh, I
just didn't know how it got into that.
Didn't recognize the sound.
Didn't know how it got there. It's supposed to be that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if either of you guys happened to see, thank you for smoking.
Let's hear it for Buzz.
There you go. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Thank you for smoking. Critically acclaimed film, not in large release with William H. Macy. At least in a supporting role. Nope, didn't see it.
Not yet.
I did not take in a film
over the holiday.
Nor did I.
I sat through Ice Age 2 about 8 times.
That's good.
Friday.
Did you enjoy it?
Still
is Ray Romano better than he was in the first one?
Still don't follow the plot.
Huh.
You know? And here's how my weekend went. Saturday was Ice Age 2
right.
over and over. Then Sunday was Basic Instinct 2.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And for me, for my money, I could have been watching the same movie.
Same plot.
Sure.
Same movie. Sharon Stone.
Both of them have fur.
Sharon Stone's big jaws of life. You know,
Sharon Stone's still doable.
That movie, I mean, no pun intended, sucked the big
one. You really did see Basic Instinct.
No, I didn't. Mike, you know me. I didn't. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see.
What? I don't know what movie you went to
love
see.
Movie.
No, I didn't go to any movies.
Neither did I during
vacation. But I wouldn't go to see Basic Instincts 2 because why remake a great movie?
You wouldn't go to Basic Instinct 2 and tell anybody. You'd sneak in to see it.
Yeah, sure I would. Mm-hmm. And I do the Pee Wee Herman popcorn thing.
That's what it's for. What's that man doing down Road 3?
Sure I would. Well, I was wearing my big Green Bay Packers jacket to make sure everybody could identify me later. No, the movie did awful box office. It,
yes.
it did like $3 million.
Tied for 10.
Right. Yeah. So that is now what her Daisy is worth.
Yeah.
That's it. Because really, that's what the movie's about.
She shows it again, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. See Sharon Stone's Daisy.
But she shows more of it this
time. I don't even know.
Really?
I don't know.
From what I was led to believe, it's almost like a training film. If you wanted, to work under the hood down there.
So to speak.
Very explicit. There's a lot of CSI techniques. You know, mm-hmm. you really get in on every...
Exactly.
Nook and cranny. Some people say it's like looking at a Thomas's English muffin under a magnifying glass.
It's like watching the Learning Channel.
Nooks and crannies.
Yes. Exactly.
With those special episodes.
And that creamery melted butter. That's all her. But no, the movie sucked. Nobody goes to see it.
The only movie I would have gone to see is that Denzel movie. I wanted to see that one.
Inside
didn't get a chance to see that. Mm-hmm. That's the one I would have liked to see.
That would have been my choice as well.
And that did very well at the box office, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It did until, Ice Age came out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the kids love Ice Age.
Jesus. Stupid friggin' parents, stupid friggin' kids. A movie like Ice Age... I never saw the first one. I imagine it's like all of them now, that it's got the slick computer animation,
Horrible.
And you have the celebrities that come in for one or two days and lend their voices to it. Mm-hmm. And because it's easier than hiring a babysitter, you can pay $8 and take the kids to watch this nonsense. It's like, what? I've not been a big believer in all. I mean, I loved Toy Story.
Yeah, Toy Story was fantastic.
I kind of like Toy Story 2. I love The Incredibles.
I love the original Ice Age. That's at the top of my list as far. In fact, that might be number two to Toy Story because it actually was funny. The one that killed me and the one where I gave up on the genre was Madagascar. That's when, seriously, I wanted to pull a cruise ship on the theater. That's how I felt about it. Because what it is you've got the entire frantic animation. Where it's just moving so much all the time. The guys that are at the computer screen feel they have to move these characters all over the place like this. And it's like, stop it! I hate that.
Well, it's become like vanity press for these actors. I mean, it's like, vanity press is when someone cannot get a book published.
Right.
And they end up just going to a publisher and they pay like $400 to get 20 copies printed. So they've actually got it. It's a way of saying putting on your resume, I'm an accomplished author. I'm a published author. For a guy like Ray Romano, who really... Now, come on. When you think about great comedic voices, really, it's not one that jumps out at you.
It's a noticeable voice.
Right.
And that's all they care about now. They care about showing that in the credits, And isn't every one of these movies that's ever been made, every animated feature in the last 20 years in Hollywood has featured Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith?
Yep.
I think every single movie.
Shark Tale, speaking of them, may be the one that pushed me over the edge. Although I have to be honest, I was never a Shrek fan. And then when they said, Shrek 2 is even more for adults than for kids because of all of the inside jokes, it was like, Christ, I don't know. Just give me Toy Story. Just give me Toy Story. Yeah. That's all I want.
Shrek, I hated Shrek. I hated Shrek and Shrek 2. But my kids are at that age where, but they're moving into, regular movies now. Hard R and X now. So it's good.
But I came back from this vacation relaxed, rejuvenated.
Good.
And one of the things I think that I would like to just say, speaking about all this, is I realize now how much, really, I dislike. I mean, even more than I've spoken about on this show in previous years.
You dislike more things than you realized.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
And I've reached a point of freedom now where, God damn it. I mean, maybe it will change things on the show a little bit. Maybe all of you listening will hate me more because there are more things that I don't like. I don't like this trend in animation. Even though it's visually pretty to look at for 1 second, it's just J.O. time for these stars who, some bitch like Kelly Ripa who just wants to be a voice in some Disney cartoon so that she can play it for her kids. And
I think if you want to be specific about the animation, you've got Shrek and you've got a movie like Ice Age. They're two kind of slightly different variations, but it's the same stuff. It all comes from a computer.
Right. Even when you get one like Cars, the NASCAR type one, I don't want to see that crap. crap. I hate it. As I don't go to the movies because I hate the movies.
You love movies.
No, but, you know, I really, there's nothing good out there, Buzz.
True.
There's nothing good out there. But having said that, which Frieda would have hated, but, you know, TFV on that, I'm feeling really good. And for the first time, I think, since Frieda died, I'm feeling happy.
Good.
And I know that I'm happy because all I've got from my vacation, and I really only spent like 5 days away from home.
Mm-hmm.
People piss me off so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And now because it's just me and there's no one else to stand next to me and say, please don't speak to these people, or please don't make eye contact with that man, or why must you take things to the next level? I found it to be very therapeutic.
Liberating.
Liberating. And came back and thought, you know what, here's the thing. I'm not going to be... I almost feel guilty saying this. I'm not feeling as bad about Frieda passing as I have before. I'm finally starting to turn a corner. I mean, like, since Frieda died, really coming in and doing the show has been a pain in the ass. No offense to any of you guys. I mean, I love doing it, but it was like, especially before this vacation, it was just like every day I would get up and go, oh, do the show. Well, what's different? Well, I didn't have, you know, my sweetie pie. Well, I realize she's gone. She's not coming back. And I don't know what happened over the vacation, but I just got the feeling that she wanted me to move on and wanted me to be happy and just realize what's really important. And, you know, I did realize that. I came to a real revelation over this vacation that, you know, goddamn, a lot of what that woman used to say to me is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. You know, stressing over ratings, stressing over what BS is going on behind the scenes at the radio station, stressing about, you know, if Mike and I, if this contract is good enough, or, you know, what is this guy getting, or how come we're not getting this, and how come we're doing this, and gosh, how come they won't listen to me about this, and how, you know, what a bunch of crap. I mean, it came to me, my life is not defined by doing this stupid radio show, which I don't mean as a put down to any of you guys in this room or anybody listening.
No, I agree with you.
But for a long time, and Frieda used to point this out to me as well.
My life is not defined by this radio show either. My life is defined by my restaurant.
Look Around Cafe.
She would really say to me, you know, there are so many more important things in life. Why are you so focused on this? And all seemed to come together for me.
Amazing.
Recently on this vacation.
So you're doing well. Like a breakthrough.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better than I've been doing before. And I don't know if you could even tell with my voice or my mannerisms. I mean, this, you know, that thing pissed me off at the beginning of the show today. God damn this place and its stupid effing equipment. I'm not doing this as a bit. I'm really pissed. I came in a really good mood, in the best mood I have been in the last 9 goddamn months. And what's the first F Ballard, tell her to have a nice day for the Dynamite Show thing that I see? Buzz over there doing the mime routine. Here I am. I'm coming back. I'm loaded for bear.
Yeah, you're confusing me now. Are you not going to let that bother you now? Or
Yes.
What?
No,
yes.
You're confusing us. Yes, I am going to let it go because I am feeling better. And because I am feeling better, these small heavy things that used to drive me crazy, which had been pushed down in significance because I had been obsessing over everything really bad that had happened to me. Now I'm looking at things slightly differently.
Good.
Thinking, you know, what she used to say, put it in perspective, right? Because I'm not defined by this show.
That's right.
I've got my own life. I've got, you know, I've got my kids. And by that I mean plural. And, mm-hmm. you know, things are going great in all regards in that part of my life.
Good.
Jesus Christ, I'm not 50 yet. I'm not dead yet. I don't mean anything bad towards Frieda, but I mean, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm feeling better. I got a pretty nice job. I work with a bunch of great guys. I'm starting to get in a better mood. And what that kind of means is I notice now that I'm generally happy. This is the weird thing. I'm generally happy here.
Yeah.
But I'm madder. It's like all the... But I think you'll find it's a good cocktail.
You don't store it up. You vent immediately. Is that maybe part of it?
The thing is, even though I've brought things to the show since Frieda has passed, like when people piss me off,
mm-hmm.
I do it because I know people can relate to it, and I like getting it off my chest. But really, I've just been terribly sad in my heart since Frieda died.
Right.
And I did a lot of soul-searching with Bart. who's now had his 21st birthday over the vacation, and did a lot of talking with my mother-in-law, and actually went to church one time and did not burst into flames when I went into church, and got a lot off my chest, and just really feel coming back that, you know, I think talking about those movies, for instance, before Frida would have died, I would have been able to immediately tell you exactly why I hate that genre of movies. And while a lot of you would have just thought I'm just a big effing blowhard, I should just shut up, at least I would know what I was going to say, and I'd be prepared, and this thing pissed me off, and I don't like it, because this. What had happened to me since Frida had died is that I would talk about something, but really, in the back recesses of my mind, I'm thinking the whole time, still that thing is still going on in the back of my mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That I'm just pretending to be happy. I'm not really happy. Not to say that I had some days that I wasn't truly happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get a feeling on this vacation of a kind of cleansing. And part of it is that there's no barometer, you know, there's no manual you can get when you lose a loved one on when you're going to decide to turn the corner and join society again.
Sure.
You know, not that I want to be with any of you animals out there. God knows, after this trip especially, I want to stay as far away from you as I possibly can. But she would want me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling happier now.
Good.
And because I'm happier, I can tell you with great joy, without feeling like I'm holding anything back or like I'm putting on a show or doing anything, if we seriously cannot get these goddamn studios fixed, really, Rob. Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
Something's going to happen.
Like what?
I don't know. See, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you better just be ready for it, because I don't know.
Okay. I'll be ready.
I'm not giving you hype. Do you remember, and I guess I was always comfortable doing the show always with Mike and everybody, but the last 9 months since Frida has gone, my head's been in other places.
Right.
God damn it. What's the rap on me? Aren't I always supposed to be just that far away from losing it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
We love that about you.
You're back there?
I know, but that's me. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So what I'm saying is, like, you say, what's going to happen? Well, I don't know what's going to happen.
Don't know.
You know, don't know.
Don't know.
Guess what? Maybe we'll change producers. I mean, that's kind of a radical. I'm just throwing that out there just to make you... Hey, come on.
Right.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm back.
Glad you're feeling good. That's good. That's good. You know, you're gonna look at his face. Take a look at his face. Look at his face. Now, you just threatened him with his job.
Too bad.
You just threatened his job.
Listen.
But then again, you last time that you took that away from him, that was, seriously, the next day he came in here, he was very happy.
And, Mike, you know this. You know that I don't really mean it. Well,
right.
On some level, you know I really do.
Oh, I know you always
I don't mean it. But, I mean, really, just check that stuff out.
Okay.
You know, because, really, I mean, you know, I hate to say this to you. She would have done it.
I know she would have.
You know, Corduroy would have done it.
She might actually be the one who broke it.
She would have screwed up everything else on the show today. But Buzz's microphone, she would have checked Buzz's microphone.
Well, as soon as she opened her mouth, she would have screwed things up.
Of course she would have.
But she would have been, you know, here at 6 o'clock in the morning doing her little busy work.
It's just going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like, you know, just get ready for... I don't know what's going to happen. Mike, don't look at me in that tone of voice.
I'm just trying to figure you out. I think about you often.
I'm happier now than I've been for a long time, which means...
You know, honestly, I didn't call you during this vacation. Normally, with recent things that have happened, I would call you midway, usually, you know, right in the middle of it, just to see how you were doing. And I didn't, because I didn't want to bother you, because I get so tired. I would really, and this is, I'm being honest here, I would get so tired of calling you and something would be happening. And I almost got to the point where I felt, and this kid, I have to tell you the way I felt this morning when I called you, because I thought I'd done it again.
What?
I felt that when I would call you, that it would almost be a bad luck charm. That Rob could call you and everything would be cool and be like, you guys would have, but I would call you. I mean, sorry about
that. Hey, way to drop the S-bomb. Although, thank you for embracing my new philosophy.
There would be something.
Anything can happen. Mike just said S-H-I.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's because I'm really being honest. There would be something going on. And I came driving in today completely stressed out because I thought something was wrong.
Ooh.
Because when I talked to you this morning, it was the same way. And now I'm glad to hear you're doing better, because over the last few months, it's been hard for me because I never knew, you know, where your head was going to be at. And that, you know, because I know sometimes when you'd be dealing with your stuff, you want to be left alone. You want to just deal with your stuff and you don't want anybody.
Let me just explain. Mike called me this morning and I picked up the phone and I said,
hi. And he answered the phone. And I said, hey, how you doing? He said, don't ever call me again. And
come on. I did not.
Just like Jack Bauer. I did not.
People's lives are at stake here. I said, hey, it's not a good time. Listen, I'm paying taxes. I've never done this.
Well, that's not.
You explained legally.
I'm not talking about that.
Of course, I've paid taxes,
but I didn't know. I didn't know. You see, I didn't know whether you. I didn't know you were going to come in and say what you were saying, that you were now happier. But you know, I'm glad that you're happier. You've turned a corner.
I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy about the fact that I have to do all this tax crap now that Frida used to do. Yeah, I know. No one is. Well, you know, I used to have a Frida. Okay?
I know.
And now I got to do it myself. So when Mike called, I happen to have some of the pinheads that are like, I'm sure, stealing left and right from me. They were over trying to explain to me why I should just sign here and sign here.
I picture you like in your pajamas, surrounded by all these people with business suits on and pencils. And they've all got those little green visors on, too.
The thing is that they go through this stuff so fast, and it's like, to make it easier for you, we've got these color-coded little sign here stickers. Mm-hmm. And once you sign like the 20th one, at one point you would just want to say, exactly what am I signing here?
Oh, man.
Forget about it.
You don't know.
That was when you called today.
If you sign on the little things, and I've been doing that for a long time, signing the little stickers that says sign here. Really. You hear about it. You hear about it in the press sometimes, and somebody comes out and they say, you know, the manager was last seen in Ottawa, Canada with $700,000 in cash and gold bullion. You know, it happens.
So, I'm not going to say I'm sorry to you because I wasn't rude to you this morning when you called.
No, yeah, I mean
I'm in the middle of tax stuff.
I know. Time was of the essence.
It was. I had to do the stuff. Mm-hmm. But what are you looking at me like that for?
In 2 whole weeks, you know, I didn't want to bother you. Where's the love? How are you? How's everything? How's your vacation?
Now you're finding out it was great.
You could have said fine. You know, said I'll tell you the whole thing at work. I'm in the middle of something.
Excuse me. Yeah,
you could have handled it a little nicer. You could have been a little. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Hey, hold on. Did I take the call?
Technically, no.
You are so wrong.
I called after.
Okay, hold on,
tell me if I'm right, okay?
What?
The phone rang, and you're like, you're doing your taxes, and you go, oh, jeez. All right, wait, let me just call him back, see what's going on.
No, here's exactly what happened. No, we're sitting in the dining room, and there's all that stuff that's laid out, and the phone rings, and I said, screw it. I said, whoever it is, just let it ring. Mm-hmm. And I heard it rang more than the times when I got two lines in my house, mm-hmm. more than the time because the voicemail said, oh, let me go. It was someone calling who got my hotline.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it was you on the caller ID, mm-hmm. as courtesy, called you back, said, hey, no, you call. I'm in the middle of something right now, mm-hmm. in the middle of taxing. Mm-hmm. And if anything, you bastard, were short with me.
You said you were going to do your taxes.
You said,
we're
you,
back.
You said you were doing your taxes.
Here's,
I said,
here's how it goes.
I'll see you at work. I said, that's what I said to you. I'll see you at work.
And it was, I'll see you at work. Click.
Because you said, I'm in the middle
hold
of this.
On,
I can't talk
on.
Right now. I didn't hang up
you
on
can't,
you.
Yeah, you can't.
Did I hang up on you?
Yeah, you can't say goodbye. It's like, I go to the other room. I say, who was it that called? Mike. I better call Mike back. Now, I'll give you that. I call you back and I say, hey, I'm sorry I missed your call, but I'm doing the tax crap with a bunch of guys. And here's exactly what you said.
You said to me, is there anything, was it anything important?
So, right.
I said, not just going to say how you were doing. Is that all it is or something like that? And then I said, okay, then I'll see you at work then. And I got off the phone as quickly as possible. That was not a hang up. That doesn't count as a hang up. That was you're up to your ass in taxes. I'll see you at work.
There's no goodbye there from you.
I didn't think you were. I thought you were too busy to even entertain a goodbye.
I'm never too busy for your goodbyes.
No, but I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. I'm glad to hear that you feel good.
I feel so much better.
The more you feel good, the more I go back into my usual defensive shell with all of you.
I feel
I'm really not comfortable reaching out to any of you. Can I be honest with you? So call me if you need me.
You don't have to reach out to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine, and I mean that seriously.
I will do it occasionally.
All you MFers. No, do it when I ask you to. Do it when I ask you to.
Done.
See, I want to say this about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? In some ways, you're shallow hell.
Yeah.
But in other ways, this is what I dig about you. Here's a compliment.
Yeah.
You are probably the only guy that will really do it.
Yeah.
And for that, I say thank you.
Sure. But because I know...
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Because the rest of you guys, I know that at some point you're going to want... You know, I'm going to get the call from Buzz or from Rob. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I know we haven't talked about it, but really, is everything okay? Or you'll mention something to me. One of you guys will. You know who won't?
Who?
Buddy boy.
But you know what I thought about?
Holy shnikey. And that's a compliment, Mike.
But you know seriously what I thought about?
Thank you.
I thought about, we talked when everything went on about like post-radio, like when we're not working together. When you know, we both go into the sunset doing whatever we're doing. I was thinking about how pleasant it will be because we'll see each other, what do you think, once a year?
Yeah.
We'll see each other once a year.
I'm sure we will. And it'll be very good.
It'll be very good.
Is that you being a, you know what?
Or are you...
Yes, I'm feeling better, yes!
I was thinking how cool...
No, I thought...
Especially when, like if you ever ended up like down in the same area.
I thought we could live like the birdcage after we did the show, Mike. That's what I thought.
No, I was thinking how nice that would be because I know how... You treat your friends in radio
like crap.
No, you treat your friends when you have reunions. It's always a very pleasant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always saying, you know, once a year, it would be a lovely evening. Yes.
Maybe, you know, maybe biannually.
Biannually, maybe an overnight.
Or you know what? Maybe
biannually it could be an overnight.
Here's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Certainly not to put either of us on this level.
Right.
But maybe we could have like a Johnny Ed type relationship. You know where?
That would be good.
You call me. And then when I die,
mm-hmm. if you predecease me,
yeah,
then I just pretend like, you know, we got together every week
and vice versa.
That's, I have no problem. I'm comfortable with that.
No, I'm kidding you. I'm busting your ball.
Now I'm glad to see that you have, you know, turned this corner. But I'm still a little confused by it. So because you're saying you're happier and you know that Frieda would want you to be happier, but you're going to be more. You're going to be like stuff that's bothering you. You're going to get off your chest a lot more freely. Is that what you're saying?
And yes, and I believe perhaps in a fashion that is more in tune with the way that the show had been done before Frieda died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that since Frieda died, the show has been different. But in my head. It's been different, and I feel like through events that happened on this vacation, some of which I will tell you, some of which I will not, because they're private, and really, I don't want to get all, you know, spiritual on your ass, but just some things happened. I know things are cool. I'm just feeling better.
Good.
Ready to come back. Ready to fight with any of these dicks at this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, really, knock down, drag out, stay the frig out of our faces, leave us the frig alone. We are the men, we're here to do the job, we are here to conquer the radio universe, and that's what we're going to do. And God damn.
All right, I like that.
God frigging damn.
Now that, I'm feeling good now.
To anybody that would say anything otherwise. Me and Mike, as you know, are already, let's face it, multimillionaires with a show that, even though we are heard nowhere, we're in 28 markets. Do you know? I was reading just the other day, I'm not kidding you, and in a radio publication, Radar Research, which is like the Gallup poll,
mm-hmm.
they did a thing of the best known radio hosts in America.
Yes.
And of course, like you would expect, it's Rush Limbaugh,
mm-hmm.
Sean Hannity, Howard Stern. Well, you know, guess who's on that list? Now, granted, we're not up in the top 10, but we got 27%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at that and I think. And I don't know what a lot of you out there think about your careers. And again, thinking that I'm not defined by my career, I got the balls to come on the radio and tell you that, yeah, a while ago, Mike and I, especially me more than Mike, had grand aspirations, you know, go to New York, go to Philadelphia, go to Los Angeles, take over the world. Hey, listen, so we didn't make it to some of those places, but goddamn, we did pretty friggin' good.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that our show in a national, not biased by anybody, survey of people, 27% of people in America know who we are.
That's cool.
And we're on 26 radio stations.
Right.
That's pretty friggin' good. I feel pretty friggin' good about the show that we do. I feel pretty good about all the people that listen to the show, and I thank you for listening to the show. And especially thank you for listening during the last 9 months when I feel like I've just really not been just full of piss and vinegar and ready to just kick some ass.
Now you are.
I mean, not that, listen, we can't bring the naked chicks back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that. You know, we can't have Oprah having diarrhea in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. We just can't. There are a lot of things
right.
that they've told us that we can't do. But Jesus Christ, I just have the feeling like almost like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Excellent. You know? That's fantastic.
And I feel like it's okay for me to come in and say, I'm happy yet I'm mad.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because I'm not mad because my Frida is gone.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm mad now just because people are jerk-offs. Like those, incidentally, like the three beers today in front of me, and I just want to say, yes, that's right, the beaners. I'm positive that this thing that Bush got, that they want to do, that if whatever the thing is, if you work for 6 years,
sure.
and you take a test for 5 more years, listen, these guys would never pass. They're here illegally. I know this. They are driving a moving van. What do you got there, Rob?
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Hank, what are you doing?
I was looking for that in there.
Oh, would you? Okay, back off. Back off. Okay. I'm
so you're happy, but your anger is now directed at your producer.
No. No. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. No. Only if he deserves
but
it.
But it's happy anger.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm on a good roll. I'm talking about something. He puts his big Herman Munster hand over, mm-hmm. indicating, hey, here's something funny to play. I play it.
Thanks. Look Around Cafe.
That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
No problem here.
No beaners there.
Well, all right. Okay, Mike does have a lot of beaners that work at his restaurant.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
Everyone legal.
I do not like that word.
Anyway.
they're like anyone that works for me, they are friends.
Okay. I'll see you at the coffee beanery, okay?
Very good.
Or amigo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm coming to work today, and there are these guys that are driving a moving van. Mm-hmm. And there's three of them. Inside the crammed inside the little front area
in the cab,
yeah. And speed limit, I'm on a windy road, speed limit about 35. They're going 15 with the left hand turn signal on the entire time because they're looking for a specific house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it turns out, it's a double yellow line, so I can't pass,
right?
Also, you know, I've learned I'm not gonna ride on this guy's ass,
mm-hmm.
so I'm coming into work and I'm thinking. I'm so pissed about this, but on the other hand, again, that's just when it came to me, and I know I'm rambling here, just bear with me. It's like, whew, boy, it feels good just to be pissed about this, but to think at the same time, I'm not so pissed off about everything else in my life.
Right.
That everything else in my life is working
that's
out.
That's not the one more thing to go wrong, that it's just something going wrong.
No, but I'll tell you, the one thing, it was the one time I was looking for the phone number on the back of the truck, like, how am I driving? Call me, because I wanted to call and say, hey, listen, you have, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr., seriously, in his straw hat, is driving this moving van 5 miles an hour. I'm going to be late to work on my first day back from vacation, but I'm going to come in and be happy and be
right.
happy. But no, I got to be behind.
No.
But no. But no. No.
I think I understand.
You get what I'm saying? You
I kind of do. I might not be all there, but I think I understand. I think I understand what you're saying. That the little things you're going to bitch about, which we've always
I've
bitched
always
about, both
that.
Of us have done this.
We've always done that.
Those are the things. You're bitching about those, but it's not symptomatic of the overall
I just feel
malaise that you've been in.
Right? I feel better because my life had been defined before Frida died. My life was defined by my family. I mean, I don't give a crap what any of you think about me. I hope you listen to the show because it helps pay our bills. But if you do listen, maybe one of the things that you do like about me, or maybe one of the things that I don't care. Here's all I know is my life used to be my family.
Right.
Even though I love radio and love doing what we do, my priority was always Frida, Bart, and then and Amy, mm-hmm. you know, and Frida's family. Although I let things get a little nutty in my head sometimes. And Frida used to tell me that, you know, you are stressing too much about things that don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
In the big picture, You know, come on, look at what you've got. Look what you've accomplished. And all of that came back to me over vacation.
Good.
And I just felt kind of a calmness, like, whew, okay. She wants me to be happy. God damn it, I'm going to try to be happy. And once I found that I was just going to let stuff roll off a little bit and not walk around with a chip on my shoulder, which I have been for the last 9 months, you know, really, and I know this, it's been over 2 weeks now that this chip has been gone off my shoulder, and I feel incredibly better.
Good.
That's all.
Because there, as you said before, everybody's got a timetable for that. You know, some people can do it. And there are people that can do it in a short period of time. But most people, it takes a little longer.
But listen, for me, my timetable for being normal, or at least getting back to being the usual dick that I am, it's now.
Mm-hmm.
It's now.
What's happening?
I'm ready to, not that I've not been ready to come to work every day, but I'm really ready to come to work.
Cool.
I'm really ready to come to work. Let's you know, let's go get them. And you're on thin ice.
I know.
I mean, you're on the thinnest of thin ice. You know what I'm saying?
That's where I'm happiest.
He's been there before. He'll be there again.
Get used to it. You know what I'm
Get
saying?
Get used to it.
I can still provide for your son. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I appreciate the fact that I am your son's godfather.
Oh, good.
That matters a lot to me. But it does not mean I will not cut you off at the knees.
All I know is if I'm on the ice, it ain't that thin.
Mm-hmm. And Rob, this is from me to you. Don't worry about what he has to say, okay?
What are you doing?
Two words for you.
Uh-huh.
Line cook.
Thank you.
All right.
Always a job. What were you doing there? I heard you, like...
I had a problem.
What was it? What, with your ear?
An earwig. My ears. Would you like to look at my left ear? Would you like to look what the sun has done to my left ear?
No.
Oh, a little sunburn, maybe?
No, of course.
Peeling? It's really like... It's not just peeling. There are chunks of flesh coming off of it.
Let me see, really.
Wow.
Pussy says what?
Stop it. Shut up. My ears hurt. They're itching. The skin is sloughing off my ears. Maybe it's this one. No, this one's better. I'm fine.
Prince Charles says what?
I'm A-okay.
What you got?
Yeah, my ears look like Prince Charles now.
You got the plague?
I look like Trot Nixon. For the Boston Red Sox.
I kid you all.
Of course.
I love you all.
Glad that you had a good vacation. You seem to be a new man.
But really, you.
Oh, this I know.
Turn it back to Rob again.
This I think Stu.
You got it. You got it. You know, first off, you don't.
I feel good. I feel, you know, as you go, so goes everybody at work. So I think everybody's probably very glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Very
glad. But with that said, you put it together pretty well for the 9 months. You hung in there.
Sure.
Yeah, everybody knew you were hurting, and you know what?
It wasn't. It was conjuring. It was fakery.
I know that, and I think everybody knew that. Everybody that's close to you here knows that that you were doing that. But and the powers that be here, Lord knows they didn't make it any easier.
Oh, right,
That's for sure.
Screw
and
them.
That doesn't change.
Right. Screw them or the horse that they rode to town
that's
on.
For sure.
Very seriously. Screw them. God, F them.
As a matter of fact, that falls in for my own personal category. That will always fall into the category of I will not forget that.
Yeah.
I really will not forget that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, like, although it would have been a nice gesture, I mean, really, like, what, am I going to go see the CBS psychologist?
No.
Yeah, what am I going to go?
Very good.
Sit down on Dr. Phil's couch because he works for Viacom?
Uh-huh.
Please, I don't think so. Anyway, had a good vacation. Want to tell you about it. And boy, people are pissers, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're just pissers. I'm all the way in Jamaica. Well, we're going to have to break first. And then start the show.
Start the show officially.
And then officially start the show.
Fair enough. And everybody's microphone is working?
Yes, correct.
Yes,
everything's working. That's right. So, how about you?
Turning back to Rob again.
How about you? QC.
Yeah?
What's QC?
Quality control.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Quality, thy middle name is Spiewak. Thy middle name is now Quality.
That's right. The entire studio is ready for the show open.
Beautiful.
And just in time.
Let me just call back.
Speak to some of the other brain trusts.
Yep. Hope the phone works.
It's John.
Hey, John.
Hello.
Hi there. Now, I just want you to know. You are a heartbeat away from the most important job in radio.
Well, I look forward to the challenge.
Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Now put Joe on the phone.
All right.
Hello?
Hello?
Why did you call Rob, very drunk, wanting my secret home phone number?
Because you said I could call you when I was very drunk, so I figured I would. Tell you I was looking forward to coming back to work.
You invited such a call.
And you did not give him the number because?
Because I'm your best producer ever.
I'm kidding. He made the right move there.
Rob made the correct move.
But Joe, I do appreciate the fact that you wanted to call when you were drunk. And what is it that I just want to say? Welcome back to you as well, Joe.
Well, thank you.
And even though I'm kidding about Rob here, if something should happen, and you know I'm really not kidding, if something should happen to Rob and he should not be able to cut the mustard as producer, and John Norman somehow gets the job, and even if both of them are hit by an elephant that falls out of the sky today,
right?
And if the Japs come back with like retribution, mm-hmm. I just want you to know there could be a rotting goat in the studio that I would choose to be the producer before you. But
I wouldn't have it any other way.
But you are always safe right there as the French fry cook of the Don and Mike show.
Aye, aye, Captain.
He's okay. Happy.
There you go. Yeah.
You've made him happy.
Go ask. Goodbye, Joe.
Good day.
Good day, sir. Hey, do your British accent.
Good day, then.
See the difference?
Take us to break, Joe. Go ahead, in your British accent.
What should I say?
Take us to break, Joe.
Take us to break, Joe.
Don and Mike Show, get a break!
This is the Don and Mike Show.
An accident west on 66 just past 123. That's over to the shoulder now, but it is adding to significant delays from the Beltway. This Easter start a new family tradition by serving a legendary Smithfield smoked ham. Hickory smoked and always delicious spiral sliced ham from Smithfield, where Aiding Whale has a rich tradition. I'm Michelle Hughes on the Don and Mike Show, free FM 106.7 WJFK.
Hello? Hello?
Hang up.
Rob?
Yes?
Go take care of him.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Even Gavin knows when to hang up.
Not funny anymore. Hang up.
All right, then. I'll hang up now.
Hang up.
There you go. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, you know, I think George Mason has been playing great, but I really thought the key in the game was the three-point line. And their front court's great, and they go inside. But I think the one thing that's been missing from what people have talked about...
The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't go to break.
Don and Mike, not to break.
I swear to God, I'm trying not to turn this into yell at Rob Spiewak.
Yeah.
Did that just queue up again?
Just queued up. I tried to pull it out, but it had just queued.
Just queued up. Okay.
No one's fault, really, apparently.
Well, really, it's his fault.
She's supposed to yank it out of there before...
Yeah, really, it's his job.
You can only do that if it's queued up.
A little rusty today.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Got a little rust on there, Rob.
Sure.
Got a little rust on. Get you some Rust-Oleum.
Ah, Rust-Oleum. That's the great can of spray paint.
Okay, so. Oh, you have that up real good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep, you sure did. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now to fix it?
I was thinking about going to key your car.
That was a good line. He fixed it in that way. He had a funny line there.
Forgive me, but shut up. You're acting like a baby.
Okay. All right, I will, though.
That's Hank Hill.
Okay, I'll stop it. Okay, oh, Laughing Place.
Yes.
Let's get to the Laughing Place.
Does that mean we're going to start the show?
Technically, yes.
Now?
Although we really could. We have already really opened the show. Do we really technically need to open the show?
You know, you're speaking to yourself now. You're having a conversation with your own brain.
But hold on. Remember... Load lifted. Where did it go?
Gone.
Gone.
Don't know.
Where did it go? Don't know. Feeling crazy.
You think you don't need the obsessive compulsive elements at the beginning of the show?
Well, we had a lot of chat there in the beginning, and I've got a lot of chat that I want to get to, a lot of chat that you want to get to, a lot of chat that even Buzz wants to get to.
Yes.
About his vacation.
Right.
And you, all you did was just sit around and think of ways to F up the show.
Yeah, but I got a list.
A big, long list.
So I think probably, I think if people could live without it.
Oh, who am I kidding?
No.
I need to hear that song.
Who am I kidding?
That song puts me in the frame of mind to do the show.
That's right.
Proper play.
I think about my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's it going to be?
I don't know. I'm looking at the internet.
Is that helping?
That's always a distraction.
It is. I hate radio insiders. You know?
Uh-huh.
We get ratings every 3 months. And you get preliminary ratings every month that you really can't judge because, well, I can't tell you why, but right. The ratings company doesn't let us tell you how they do their surveys.
Right. No, that would spoil it.
So the monthly ratings came out last month, and I mean, I'm just catching up on this now. They came out last week.
But it's important to point out that we are basically, outside of a few months during the year, we're rated every month.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just catching up now on this stuff. The most recently, this is from DCR-TV, the most recently monthly Arbitrends, Morning Drive. Oh, and he goes to say how the junkies are not totally losing, you know, mm-hmm. all of Stern's audience.
Right.
Here's where it says, ads are source. The rest of the JFK lineup is a disaster. Midday was lower than January. Don and Mike are way down for the second month in a row. Huh? Okay, now listen, again.
Load lifted.
Go get them.
But you listen, said you can still be mad.
It's.
When facts are mischaracterized.
It is a rolling average. Right. A rolling average. Anybody that wants to bust our balls about ratings, any of you junior G-men radio guys that like pulling down your pants and typing furiously on the internet with facts and figures you know nothing about, what really matters are the ratings that are released in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
When those ratings are released, we'll let you know.
See you then.
Yes. Now, it is true. We have trended down 2 months in a row.
Ooh, scared kids.
Yes, but when you say way down, that's not exactly how I would describe it.
No, and it's not. And the truth, I mean, there are so many things about the ratings we can't talk about. But if you know anything about the ratings, or if this site has any kind of archive, why don't you go back to last February, or the February before, or the February before that, when during the second month of the ratings, they posted stuff saying, oh my God, that's it, it's over for Don and Mike, mm-hmm. they're down, down, down. But suddenly the third month of the ratings came out, and somehow,
mm-hmm.
miraculously, we're still on top.
Oh!
and even with what they're printing it with a radio insider saying, you know, Don and Mike are way down for the second month in a row. No, we're not. Hey, Dick, you know the demo that matters is adults 25 to 54 at our current rating in the Washington, D.C. market, even with these slumping ratings, these diving ratings 2 months in a row. We're in third place.
Mm-hmm.
We're in third place. We're in third place with two crappy months.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, they won't tell you that, though. No.
Dick, and
I think that whoever that guy is has an agenda.
No. Here's the thing. Some radio guy, I used to think it was Bennett Zier. Now I think it might be the guy at WTOP. I think that there are guys in the business that feed this guy information about the ratings and stuff when the monthly ratings come out, so this guy can put them on his radio website. You know, why else would you get a slant like that? When we do great, all it says is, oh, yeah, Don and Mike, number one in demo.
Yeah, by the way.
We have a couple of months where we're down, I think we were down 6/10 of a point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That of course, that is, that. What is that? Our ads are source. Don and Mike are way down for the second month in a row. You know what, Dave Hughes at DCR-TV, if you got any balls, why don't you put the names, at least of the sources, of the ratings information that you're putting on your website. I'm not saying that you should hold everybody accountable when they log in and write the stuff in the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to write stuff like that, dude, that's just wrong.
Well, that's his main news page, that's on.
That's just wrong. And to all of you radio nerds out there who go to these message boards and junk, stop your bitching. Wait until the real ratings book comes out in a month. And the only reason you know, and this is just another revelation that just came to me on vacation, when for some reason, I know it was the day that the numbers came out, and I talked to Rob, and I was sitting on a beach having a drink, thinking about this, and thought, why am I so friggin' stressed out about this? Because this is the way that I've been my whole life with radio. I'm going to try to not to be so stressed about it. But then I like, during the break, and I was real good, I didn't look at the internet or anything on vacation.
Good.
I look at it, and I see that it's right, I go, oh, that pisses me off. But I'll come forward and tell you, and here's why. We talk about our ratings if they are good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading through some of the crap on some of these websites, and people love writing stuff like, Don and Mike failed in New York, Don and Mike failed in Philadelphia. Hey, all you douchebags, you wouldn't know if we were doing great or if we were doing awful unless we told you about it. We are totally, when it comes to our ratings, more honest than Jesus Christ himself. When we do great, we stand up on top of the building and we say services.
Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, when we had the number 14 mm-hmm. ranking, we printed up buttons
That's right.
about it.
Listen.
We know the way the game works.
The station is sinking. There's no doubt about that. I've harped on that enough. You know that. The station is sinking. But to say that our ratings are way down for the second month in a row, that's a lie, and it's a lie that you're writing about something that really, I mean, I hate to bust balls here because you seem like a nice enough guy, Dave Hughes, at DCR TV, but you really shouldn't even be printing these facts.
You're ill-informed.
Yes. I mean, legally, I don't think you can print these facts. I don't know if Arbitron has ever gone after this guy.
That's the internet, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's Dodge City. Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, it's just something I wanted to address sure. For those in the audience who do look at message boards and wonder how things are going. We're kicking ass. We're kicking ass. Listen, here, adults 25 to 54, we've said for 20 years that's the money demo.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're in third place.
Mm-hmm.
There are two stations ahead of us, the black station and the news station.
Right.
That's pretty close to the top. That's pretty close to the top. You know, really, what do you think? And here's the thing, when I had a freedom moment, a breakthrough on the vacation about these ratings. Because Rob called me, and I said, like, oh, crazy. He said, we were down just a little bit. I said, oh, crap. You know, because you mm-hmm. don't ever like going down.
No.
But he said, yeah, but we're strong as hell. We're going to, you know, we lost a huge month and blah, blah. And then I thought, Jesus Christ, do you think a guy like, I don't know, anybody, I like sports, so let's just use a sports
okay.
guy, a guy for the Red Sox. Do you think the Red Sox, like, lose five games in a row and some pitcher, I don't know, maybe they're this petty, I don't know, goes on a website and sees, like, douchebags, like, writing stuff that's just not true and really want to, in some way, address it to say, 'cause on one hand, it doesn't matter because such a small amount of people are reading it. But on the other hand, you're reading something about yourself. It's like if they wrote your batting.
I think everybody reads about stuff like that, but they don't talk about it.
It's like if you read the newspaper, your batting average is 212, and you know you're batting 300, but you read on the internet rather that mm-hmm. you're batting 212.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to stand up and say, "Hey,
sure, set the record straight.
I'm batting 300."
That's all.
That's all.
Everybody's human. Everybody's the same way. Everybody feels that way.
And I bring this up for a reason, not for my usual diatribe about the ratings and everything. I'm just telling you something, and all of you douches out there can write this down and print it and send it to the fat man.
And that's a quote from a great baseball player, Goose Gossage.
Mm-hmm. This show right here, headed UP. Up. Up, 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 up. I bet my left nut on it.
And you mean it. You love that nut.
I mean my nut. Yes, I mean my nut. And I'll tell you what. You know I'm going to walk away in 2008 when I'm 50. That's not like a DJ threat. That's just that I'm going to retire. Me and Micah could be number one in that beauty pageant of overall listeners again before we leave. I promise you we will. So all you guys, write it down that I said it today. Write it down that I said it today. But keep listening. Keep listening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the good, the bad, the ugly, please
keep
do.
Keep thinking you know everything that goes on behind the scenes here or anywhere else in radio. Christ, you only know what we've told you. But I'm telling you this. I'm back! And we're going to be back on top like we were. Not that we are not doing great now. We are. But I'm more energized than ever. Just as an FU to every dim-witted poster or every idiot program director Greg Gillespie we've ever had, we're going to go out on top.
Excellent.
And unfortunately, that may be the only way that we leave before 2008. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, if we hit number one in the next ranks book, I may just pay Mike off myself. Say that's it.
Then we're done.
We won the Super Bowl. Let's get the frig out of town. And I defy you to find
that's another thing where baseball players kind of have that advantage. You know, they can win the World Series and then quit.
Yeah. I defy you to find me another disc jockey that while I'm screaming about a stupid website, that would talk about ratings openly and honestly.
And honestly.
Yeah. You know, all you guys, you only know about our careers because we've told you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you only think that we failed in New York because it is my perception, my personal perception, from the standpoint of a lot of other people, was not a failure at all.
No.
Mike and I worked our way up to the number one radio market in America. We're there for about a year. And incidentally, not that everything revolves around it, made some pretty freaking good coin.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you out there who write stuff to message boards in your chosen career have ever even been close to grabbing onto the brass ring? Never. Never. And because we grab for it, and when we don't get it, we tell you about it.
And we tell you about it with every single wart you hear about it.
All of our detractors love getting on, you know, on the internet and writing stuff and sending us emails on our website, you know.
Yeah, in my mind, really, in that particular website you talk about, like nothing I've ever read. Like I've never seen anything. And I know, and you know, that when you read that, I think it's fantastic because it's, whether it's good, whether it's bad, it's us.
Just,
it's us if we're 3,000 miles away or if we're here. And you know what? I bring it on because I do love it. The only time I get concerned is if I'm not reading about us in there.
When they don't talk.
That's when I worry.
Just know this. We don't lie about our ratings. We're not in the crapper now. And write it down seriously. It's April 3rd. We'll be number one by the end of this year. By the calendar year 2006 is over, we will be number one, 12-plus in the ratings.
Bingo. There it is.
Let's go.
Write it down. You know what that's called? A Joe Namath guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why I can do it? Because I've done it before.
You deliver.
Mm-hmm. Me and Mike have done it before.
In every single day part.
And we're ready to
do it.
That's
mornings, that's middays, and that's afternoons.
Even more of a challenge now working at this asshole station.
Whew, you bet your ass it is.
I mean, really. I mean, if you want to talk about, and I don't know why, you know, write this. The nighttime show here that we've trashed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it got really in February?
What?
A 0.00.
Didn't show up.
So we're working on a radio station that in some day parts has no listenership at all.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
But it doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, I'm not depressed about it now. Again, it's this metamorphosis. I swear to God that I went through on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the way I used to look at things. It's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, so this place stinks. We've been through worst, you know, to quote Mommy Dearest, mm-hmm. you know, we fought worse monsters than you.
Oh, we have.
This is not our first time at the rodeo.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
It's not like they've ever, since we've been here, that anything's ever been done. And, you know, and now because of who knows why, there is some word out there about the show that they've never done before. That's the end. You take that as a positive.
So anyway,
that doesn't necessarily make up for where we are.
I just thought it would take a second, as long as I'm just kind of cleansing everything, and I'm done with that now, and I'm going to close that down, and I'm going to even try to make a conscientious effort not to be so goddamn insecure and read that stuff on the air.
Good for you.
But understand that even the fact that I do that, you stupid BM eaters do not get this. I'm still being more honest and open than any of the other phony balonies you listen to on the radio, because I tell you I'm insecure. And I read stuff that's not true about us on the internet, which I know I shouldn't care about. But still, I go ahead and we talk about it on the air.
Not true.
Because it's the way real people are. I guarantee you all the other disc jockeys.
Oh, they're reading it.
Who incidentally wish they got written about as much as us, good, bad, or indifferent.
True.
Read it all the time. None of them would have the balls to have a 30-minute discussion or however long this train wreck of a break has been talking about this. We do. So just get your facts straight. The ratings, the real ratings that you can legally comment on, come out four times a year. We get the winter ratings in about a month. Then we get the spring ratings, the summer ratings, and the fall ratings. And we're going to be number one again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay?
That's all there is to it. That's all there freaking is to it.
And you know why you can make that prediction? Because we're not all that far away from it already.
Bingo.
Hello.
Bingo, which is what really gives me the red ass when I read something like, and I've got to think it's Jim Farley at WTOP who feeds this guy at DCR-TV the numbers, you know.
A good guess.
I don't know if it's him or if it's Bennett Zier, the guy who used to work at Clear Channel. But somebody who doesn't work for our company feeds them numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and feeds them facts.
Feeds them numbers with their own interpretation of those numbers.
Right.
Which incidentally, is a cottage industry within the radio business.
Mm-hmm. Listen,
what you do in the radio business, and especially if you're working in sales, is you take these numbers. There's a reason why there's so many of them, because you take them out there on the street and you turn them into whatever you want to make them sound like.
Spin them, yeah.
All right, so now I've covered that. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest as well.
Good.
Okay?
So that's good. Another load is off.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it, okay? And write it down. The monthly ratings don't mean anything. We're not getting our ass kicked. We are third place, 25-54.
Mm-hmm.
Men, I don't have all the breakdowns. Men, 18-49, we're like number three. I mean, we're ballpark everything. It's not number one. But who else do you know who would be petty enough, insecure enough, mm-hmm. and most importantly, honest enough to come on the radio and tell you this?
No
say,
one.
Most people would get on and say, hey, the Don and Mike Show, still the most listened to show at Afternoon Drive in the history of Washington, D.C., don't do that. We still live book to book. We live month to month,
absolutely.
Day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So get off my ass. If we suck, trust me, I'll be the first to tell you. Especially now, because I'm just feeling it. I'm just feeling it.
You're purging.
Feeling it. All this has been inside of me since, you know.
Next week we're going to binge.
Frieda really was, she in a lot of ways was the garbage can that I would puke into. Because when I would go home, and I would binge a lot of this stuff to her.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've not had for the last 9 months is anybody to binge that to. And what I finally have realized is that, except for an occasion like today after vacation, I'm going to try to let it go a little bit while still speaking the truth.
Yes.
And still speaking from the heart. And any of you detractors out there, any of you cowards on the internet that want to write anything you want to write, be my guest. Just know this. Someday when I'm done with this job, I'm going to be like Bill and Ted. Or Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, you were going to go to all the houses individually?
Yes. That's the best. I said Bill and Ted, but I meant Jay and Silent Bob.
Jay and Silent Bob, where they find the people that wrote about them on the internet?
Yeah. Like some guys are like, Jay and Silent Bob suck. They're dickheads.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend their time driving around. They go to this kid's house, and this kid answers the door, like 13. They go like, they're looking at the thing, they go, are you,
oh, let's do that.
Dark Saber 17? And the kid goes like, yeah, hey, you're Jay and Silent Bob. And they go, yeah. Punch him right in the face.
Drop the 13-year-old.
So anyway, that's your update on the state of the show. I gave you my state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the update on the state of the show.
Very good.
We're going nowhere but up, and I freaking guarantee it. And I know you would love nothing better, all you jealous wannabes out there would love nothing better to shove it up my big fat ass or Mike's big fat ass, but you're not going to be able to. You're just not going to be able to. Because I'm telling you, I've willed this to happen.
You've willed this to happen.
That's all it takes.
Buzz, you're kidding.
No, I'm serious. It's always worked before.
I know.
Exactly.
I freaking know.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm kidding, Mike. I got the scary powers.
That's right.
Watch out. You know what I'm looking for?
What?
You see, no way of knowing.
I didn't.
See? Because I got this. Scary powers.
Rub that lamp.
Ooh.
Rub that lamp.
See the future. I see the future happening. Ooh.
I'm not kidding you this time.
I'm really not. See, lots of good things happening.
Well, you can talk about willing and the genie in the bottle and everything. I'm looking at the facts. And the fact is, we have done it before. We've done it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it many, many, many times before, and we will do it again.
Hey, listen, let's face it. The station, if they had any brains at all, you know, screw whatever they want to do with the morning show and the middays or whatever. They should be saying they have on, with the exception of Harden and Weaver, the most successful radio show in the history of Washington, D.C.
Period.
That's a fact. And it's not been noticed by enough people. And now that I'm feeling better, I'll do my little dance to tell you that we are just going to have to come back bigger and better and stronger than before to shove it right down your butt. And then we're going to run that thing again over and over and over that said, Don and Mike, number one Arbitron rated.
Bingo.
Oh. That'll be a sweet day. Mm-hmm. Coming in calendar year 2006. Because I know our listeners will not let us down.
No. But we've implored them before, and they haven't let us down.
The troopers.
But I know now you guys
and these are for all the people that you don't read posts from, and you don't really get phone calls from. This is the, as Nixon said, the great Richard Nixon said, the great silent majority. This is the silent majority.
All you listeners out there who really do listen to us all the time, I know you can tell, just like I know Mike can tell, because they can see me. I'm telling you. Turned a freaking corner.
Obviously.
And I'm not defined by this job. I'm defined by my life. But this job is a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. This is a good radio show. This is a great radio show. This is an underrated radio show that has flown under the radar for many, many years. And what we're going to have to do one more time, like the big, strong men that we are, is come back one more time.
A little heavy lifting left.
Kick ass one more time.
Yep.
And this time,
amen.
That's it. Mark our territory.
And that will be an event.
You bet.
That will be an event.
You
and everybody be ready for it. That's everybody on the show.
You can build a
That's
jetty.
Not just Don. That's not just me. That's everybody. So you will send out an email the night before that happens, right?
Sure.
And like when we all have to be prepared for it?
Sure.
So we can produce, if you know what I mean?
I do.
No problem. Speaking of producing?
Yeah.
Great job during that last segment.
I didn't do anything.
I know. You didn't screw anything up.
Great.
You're great.
Congratulations, Rob.
Congratulations.
That's another pleat in your cape.
It is.
You'll keep the job for another 20 minutes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it. I'm done. Now, let's see. Gosh, the vacation. When we come back, we will do the Laughing Boys.
Thank God, because I really can't go on unless we do.
I think you could. I really think you could. I think everybody could today.
I think you don't know everything about me you think you know.
I think I do.
Well, I think I might be laughing on the outside and crying on the inside. Yeah, could I do the show?
Sure.
I could do the show. I can do the show in any circumstances. But would I enjoy doing the show?
What are you talking about?
The Laughing Place. The song.
Oh, you mean that not hearing the Laughing Place would somehow...
You know, everybody's got their little thing.
Mm-hmm. Internally, for Mike, it makes a difference.
Okay, well, then, here you go.
There you go. There we go. I've really, really become addicted to this. Until you decide to blow it out. Then I gave her a rat's ass.
Oh, now this is going to be a keeper. All the way back to number one.
It's good up until this part right here. This is where it gets great.
This is the best part.
Great. Right here. Right now.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6 or 1 and 5 and noon and 4 and check your local listings and blah, blah, blah. And I think, okay, now, can you live without your script today? Without your, you know, dear Mr. and Mrs.
Can America?
That's the question.
Can they? So I think when we come back, we will just pretend like the show's already started.
All right.
Because we've done the Laughing Place.
You mean you're going to be taking the thing he does away from him today?
Yeah, well, now listen, really.
Now, I'm not making any editorial...
If he was a good producer, he would already know that by my own bad penmanship...
Oh, we're late.
We're 10 minutes late.
Yeah, very much so.
So what he would probably say is, let's go to break and let's take away from the part where he does his, you know, hello, Mr. and Mrs.
Volunteer that.
Yes, and just let's get right to the vacation.
Well, is that what you want to do, Rob?
If a good producer would do it, let's do it.
I tell you what. Why don't you call Beth Ann during the break?
Okay, and ask her what she would do.
And I'm gonna get you a wristband.
WWBAD.
WWBAD. I'll wear that.
And do the opposite. Every time. just do the opposite. Now you big lug, you're okay. The only one who's really on ice, as always, is Joe.
But in a very secure way.
Yeah.
Well, you never know, Mike. Really? Every once in a while you hear about one of those tragic things, little Johnny was out in the middle of the lake today, and God, it was like only 10 degrees with him. Ooh, there he goes.
And it's like 3 weeks later, and we notice that he's gone.
I can't swim. Help me.
Joe.
Forget it. Yeah. I was on the thin part of the pond shooting off bottle rockets.
What happened? Right.
The force of the bottle rocket drove me through the ice.
Kind of cold.
Key Rice.
Mm-hmm.
God, I don't know. Someone's going to have to tell me later, is this a good show today so far, or is this a bad show today?
This is a stream of consciousness show today.
I like that. I enjoy it.
I understand that.
There is a segment of our listening audience that totally digs this kind of stuff.
But what about the other segment? Well, screw them.
Absolutely. There you are. Now you're talking.
F them. You don't like it, change the channel. Be my guest. Be my guest.
Now, you got to be more positive now. You got to say you welcome everyone. Be ye hater or lover.
That's right.
Join our family, at least for the next year.
Climbing back to number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just take a dump on this place.
Bingo.
A big, gigantic.
And it's brand muffins for everybody.
And Michael Hughes is the plate.
Be fantastic. Oh, well, I don't know. That new guy.
Gillespie.
I want to do that on Red.
Gillespie.
I feel like doing that on Rusty.
Yeah. Open wide.
All right. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the show today. We'll be back tomorrow with an all-new episode.
Good night, everybody.
And
carefully.
And goodbye. Stay tuned for Jay Severin. He's next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's start right here.
All right.
Vacation. I've got a lot to tell you, so stand by. Stand by for action.
Stand by.
People piss me off. The first week of our two-week hiatus was very nice. I spent it with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
He is now officially 21.
21.
Bart turned 21 last Friday.
Right.
Which is a big accomplishment for him, a big accomplishment for me. Another one of the reasons that I just am feeling better about things psychologically. It's not that it's a burden lifted, because he's still my son. He still is my obligation.
Always will be.
Always will be. But, you know, hey, he's 21, and I'm proud of the fact that I didn't F up the last 9 months without Frida.
Mm-hmm.
That we got to the finish line together, had a great week at home. Really, it was just he and I one-on-one. At one point, I was going to take him out for an early birthday dinner with all the guys, and I called a bunch of guys from work and called a bunch of his friends, and then as it turns out, he was pissed. He said, I don't want anybody else. They just want us to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just he and I. So we went, and I had to politely call everybody and uninvite them
mm-hmm.
and tell them that we just had a nice man-to-man, really almost like a passing of the torch thing. But it was a very nice moment with my son. And part of this whole thing with the load being lifted. We did a lot of talking about Frida and about life and about things that happen to you. And it was just really great to have him around, and he's 21 now, and he's now my little boy, and he's my buddy.
Yeah.
And we got his cat neutered, and boy, was that fun. I videotaped it.
Felix?
Incidentally.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I videotaped it, and we'll be having it on our website, because all we did was get a bottle of whiskey, and just kind of, well, first we drank, and then we just poured it on the cat,
right.
And it was like it was a homemade thing.
Did you use the butter knife?
It was a Mike O'Mara production.
Very good.
No, the funniest thing, the only thing I wanted to mention about my kid's cat getting neutered while he was here on spring break was that when he brought the cat home from the vet, these things always crack me up. Those cones that they put around the cat's head.
Yeah, sure, so they can't lick themselves.
Around the animal's head. And this cat was just dying to lick down there,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he knows that,
right.
that they had just cut his nuts off.
There's stuff going on down there.
Right. And to watch this poor cat walk around the room, and like he would go like this, he would bump into the wall, then he would bump into the wall, and he would bump into the wall, all in an effort to get this backwards goddamn lampshade off his head.
Right, right.
Anyway, I spent...
We issue cones to regulars at the bar.
I spent countless minutes that ended up maybe being like hours Just watching the cat.
Was the cat a little under the influence when you got the cat home?
Yeah.
Because that's cats seem to be more logy than dogs.
It's the best. It was absolutely the best. So Bart had a great week with me. Then Big Frida arrived. Let me see. This is like halfway, like last weekend, because she was going to house sit for me when I went out of town for my little getaway.
Right.
So it was. It's always great to have Big Frida around. And again, that was part of the just revelation weekend for me with my Frida was I have a unique relationship with Big Frida. I'm very lucky. I love her like she's my mom. I really do. And we talk honestly and openly, more honestly than just about anybody else I've ever met in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the coolest. And she made me feel good, and I hope that I made her feel good.
You know you do.
If you know what I'm saying.
Way to go, Don.
Now.
Attaboy. You get a big attaboy.
Now that little Frida is out of the way.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
What made her so alluring to me in the first place.
Did you do some exploring?
Oh, baby.
I can't do this.
Damn it.
That's it. I'm out. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
It was bubble bath.
I'm not doing it.
He can do it.
He can do it. Let him do it.
No, I didn't. Mike, I didn't make love to my mother-in-law. I didn't take her.
Of course you did. No need for that disclaimer.
I did not ram my tongue down her throat. She slipped out of her protective cone at one point.
Oh my God.
Had to help her.
Oh, wow.
But no, she's just the coolest. And if she's listening now on the internet, because they don't broadcast live in Ocean City anymore, mm-hmm. I love you, Mom. You're the greatest. And she's even cool when it was time for me to go to the airport. Let me see. It was a crazy last part of the vacation because it was the hassle of getting Bart ready to go back to school. He had classes on Monday, and, of course, he postponed and procrastinated leaving. And she was arriving, and we got all that done. And then it hit me that on Monday morning, when I was going to be leaving to fly, as it turns out, I spent 4 days in Jamaica. I had not my girlfriend, but my friend who is a girl, who I've talked about before. She picked me up and took me to the airport.
Oh, very nice.
Because, you know, they charge you like $150 to park your car for 3 days at the airport. And even that, I thought, would be maybe awkward, you know, because Big Frida was at the house and this gal came over to pick me up on Monday morning and bring me to the airport. And she sat outside and I just gave her the high seat. Like, no, come on in. Uh-huh. You know, meet Big Frida. So they met. That was very cool. And at that point, I was really getting the calmness coming over me. It was really the whole week with Bart and spending time with Big Frida, and then just I felt like I had the blessing from my Frida just move on and be happy. And that is when people started to piss me off.
Just at your moment of zen, you got people that started ruining it for you.
Now, it wasn't individual stuff like I'll tell you about in a second. First, let me say that I think if you know anything about me, you know that I am, although a big mouth on the radio, I'm a big pussy in real life. That I, generally speaking, unless somebody's doing something awful, like Rob with Carrie, if I'm out with him, and I notice that he's, you know,
squeezing her elbow just so,
you know, I will see
her fingers turning white.
I will lean over and I'll say to Rob, you know, hey, please go easy.
But enough.
Generally speaking, I stay out. I like watching. I like observing. I like being
You like
smart.
To watch.
Yes, he does.
Always has.
Now, the flight out to Jamaica, the delay at Dulles Airport last Monday, on the ground. I must have a kick me sign when it comes to flying because I had the delay when I flew to Minnesota to see my granddaughter or my granddaughter and my grandson. I mean, and my daughter. You know that whole thing. The delay was 2 hours and 45 minutes. Waiting to go to Jamaica because...
Wait, after you got on the plane?
Yeah, we got on the plane.
Wow.
And then the guy said, some light came on.
Oof.
And then after an hour and 15 minutes, I said, you know what, we can't fix the plane, so we're going to have to push the plane back up. And then everybody's going to have to run from gate, you know, B3 to gate C8. So you've got people... Anyway, it was at least 2 hours and 30 minutes before we got... We were all at the new gate waiting for the plane to show up. And for one time in my life, for whatever reason, I wasn't stressed out about it. Like I said, I had this calmness about me, and I was thinking, you know, boy, first of all, I think, we're free to be happy. And second off, how come nobody is ever here to see this when I'm acting like this, when I'm not a
when you're on your best behavior.
When I'm not a dick. Because I thought, I'm on vacation. So what if we get delayed? I'm getting a free drink anyway out of it. Some guy, when they moved us to gate C8 or whatever, the plane had just arrived and they were cleaning it up and people were very fried and ready to get on the plane because now it's a 2-hour and 45-minute wait to get on this plane. People are connecting flights. Some jerk that was drunk walked up to the stewardess who was standing, we were still at the area where you're waiting to board, and said, his words, "When is this effing plane going to effing leave? You know, I've got effing stuff to do." And she said, "Well, as you can see, the plane is right there, and we'll be leaving as soon as we can." And he said, "Well, I would just effing appreciate it if we wouldn't have to effing wait for the effing plane." And then it was a two-pronged attack. And actually, as you can see, on the United Airlines, which has kind of been, I spilled a drink on it, but I was writing notes. I attacked him first visually, then verbally.
So you gave him the evil eye.
I gave him
the hairy eyeball.
Very effective.
I gave him the eye, and then he wouldn't stop. And then I walked up, and I said, "Excuse me, is there a problem here?" And the guy turned around.
Now, when Don does that, I should point out to everybody, you use the same body language as the manager of the All-American Burger in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Don't you hold your hands behind your back and lean forward and go, "Excuse me, is there a problem here?"
Now, you just got to know that I am the biggest pussy in the world, and that I would never want to get in a fight with anybody, really. I'm sure I'd get my ass kicked. But it's like everybody had been waiting, and for whatever reason, this guy was just really ragging on this waitress, this stewardess, and it's not her fault. So I walked up and said, "Excuse me, is there a problem?" And then this is all it took. All I had to do was say, "Is there a problem?"
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Big, blowing your boozy breath in my face, he backs down like this.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, guess what? If I wanted to, I can get laid with the Golden Girls. Because all of the waitresses on this flight, and they laughed when I called them waitresses.
Right.
They all came around and said to me, there was like three of them, anybody that was on this flight last Monday from Dulles to Montego Bay will know me as the man that got the older stewardesses. They gave me one of these, like the just some polite golf applause for like telling the guy to just F off.
Mm-hmm.
So, we get on the plane. We get on the new plane. And this is where the dividends start paying off for me. Because we get on the plane, and here's a shock. I'm in first class, because that's the kind of guy I am.
That's right.
Okay? I've got the frequent flyer miles. It's just me. I'm going to Jamaica. I'm not checking a bag. I've just got a carry-on.
Aren't you wearing pajamas?
And slippers.
I'm shirtless.
You know, I don't ever request this. You need the saying. You need the GB. Absolutely.
Boy, yeah.
You get it on this one.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll tell you why.
The golden boy.
So I'm sitting in the front of the plane.
Naturally.
The golden boy.
And because I am a hero to these cows, yes. to these very nice waitresses, the stews, all of them, incidentally, who could be, they all could have been up for the role that Doris Roberts played on Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean, they were all senior
flight attendants.
But here's what is so friggin' cool, and I especially want to thank, and I wrote her name down, Betty, B-E-T-T-Y.
Mm-hmm. Hot Betty.
Hot Betty. Betty's home base is Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
She has worked for United Airlines for 27 years.
Wow.
When we got on the plane, when we finally got on the plane, she said, "Can I get you a drink?" And I said, "I would love a Bloody Mary." And she said, "Come up front for a moment." I was in the very first row, so she said, "Would you come up here for a second?" Mm-hmm. So I came up, and she pulled out all the little trays, the little bottles, and she said...
Was that before or after she began to unbutton her blouse?
Oh, no, this was simply because I was like a good guy and told the guy to F off, right?
Come up to the...
Hold on. And now keep in mind, these three middle-aged broads all look like Aunt Harriet from Batman. Really, they gave me this...
They love you.
How great is this? And I told
her... So is that when you got the applause when you went up to the front?
No, I got the applause...
When you were at the gate.
When we were at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So... Now, and I cannot say her last name because she was afraid she'd get in trouble with the airline. Her name is Betty. Home base, Orlando. We get on the plane. She said, "What would you like?" I said, I'd love a Bloody Mary. She says, come up here and see what kind of vodka we've got. Now, I see all the little tiny airline bottles. Mm-hmm. And she said, do you see anything you like? And I said, oh, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I said,
Dolman's, Finlandia.
I said, maybe a tiny bottle of Absolute, like just one. I said, I would probably go for that little Absolute. I said, but, you know, Grey Goose is really what's desired.
Yeah.
I said, but you don't have that here. Listen, anything would be fine. Don't worry about it. She said, so it's Grey Goose? That what you like? I said, yeah. Now, I was not even thinking about this. Now, how sweet is this lady? Betty. Really?
I have.
What?
I have Grey Goose for you.
Would you stop?
A little airline bottle that nobody, not even security, found out.
No, hold on a second.
Betty's Grey Goose.
You might think that. Imagine what the other people on this plane thought. I swear to Christ, this is true. She talks to somebody on the telephone. I don't know what's happening. My drink doesn't show up.
Okay.
Meanwhile, other people are getting on the plane, and she's saying to them, would you like it, like a mimosa or an eye-opener or whatever it is. I'm noticing other people are being served, and she sees me in the corner, and she goes, just a minute, you're a disco. Just 1 minute. And I'm sitting there, and I've got the very front seat, and then I see the guy from the airport, one of those guys that's got the big what?
My name is Betty. Help me into the stirrups, dear. We have to get that special bottle.
Hold on now. Listen, I just have to give this woman some props.
How did she get you your Grey Goose?
She sent one of the guys that has the big-ass earphones.
Whoa!
That was outside loading extra luggage that couldn't be carried on. She somehow got an entire bottle, and I mean regular, not airline size.
Hello.
Like regular size.
Wow.
Here is what she did.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Here is what she did. I was sitting in seat 1A, which means I'm the aisle seat in the first row. Get to put your feet up against the wall. Nobody else with you. I got a good seat. Everybody else had their drink. The guy came back on the plane. I didn't see what was happening. She came over in front of me with a taller glass than the other patrons were getting. Thank you for that, Betty.
That's cool.
It had ice in it, and she opened up the little can of Mrs. T, and I'm always, I pity the fool that married Mr. T.
Mm-hmm.
The Mrs. T Bloody Mary mix.
That's good mix, fool.
She pours it in, and then with everybody else watching, she reaches into that little cabinet just beyond where I can see, and she pulls out this big-ass bottle of Grey Goose, and she says, was this what you were looking for? And I said,
wow.
Oh, you got that whole bottle.
You rescued them.
I said,
you rescued them from a person who was being a jerk.
And what she did was, right there, I had my little tray pulled out. She poured right from this big sheet under the top.
Right.
And poured right. And it was like this. It was just glug, 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 glug. She said, that looks good. She put the top back on, put it up front, and as she was walking away, said everybody else, that's private stock, only for this gentleman and for the crew. Of course, not while we're flying. Anyway.
See, that's because you have veteran flight attendants. They can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff.
Anyway,
they know how to treat the customers.
She could not have been nicer, and I told her that I would say hello to her today. She wanted to give me the rest of the bottle when I got off the airplane. I said, well, I got to go through customs, and how am I going to explain? I've got half a bottle of Grey Goose. She got me pretty drunk on the flight.
Right.
On the flight down there.
She got you pretty drunk on the flight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you said it almost sounded like she got pretty drunk. No. I picture her
that's not allowed.
Sitting there. She did not.
Was this a night flight?
No, it was supposed to leave at 9 a.m.
So it was the middle of the day.
It didn't end up leaving until 1:15.
I was going to say, the night flights, you know, when the booze is flowing.
So I get there, and now again, I mean,
could I have an extra blanket, please?
I'm in a good mood. I am in a good mood because I've done a good deed,
yeah,
and I got some free booze.
Rewarded for it.
I made this lady, Betty, very happy. We'll break now, and when we come back, the people that pissed me off the most.
Oh, good.
And including personal one-on-one, not like random, like the guy that was cussing, or the people that I won't tell you about, the bad parents that I saw with the timeout kid. There was one couple. I'm sitting there at a table when I'm having dinner by myself, and there's a family sitting next to me. It's a mom, a dad, and a little boy about four. And the mom and the dad are just such a-holes that they're arguing at the table. Like, this is a public place in front of everybody. And the kid has to come over between them and go, Mommy, Daddy, Time out.
No.
Time out.
Well, like, that's not good.
Jesus, you ass. You know, fortunately, I was just bombed.
The kid really shouldn't do that.
I was just...
you said, is there a problem here?
Just bombed, so I just let it go. But
I hate it when kids behave like that.
Those are not... The, listen, let me just tell you...
If mommy and daddy are fighting, sit in your seat.
That's right, yeah. Be quiet.
Everything else I've told you thus far is tame. Not that I'm building up towards the story of the century. But two people, one of them it does involve shouting.
Mm-hmm.
The me being shouted at, then me shouting at someone in the gift shop in this hotel. And I'll tell you why and how I ended up getting my revenge on this bitch. And then a guy that just in the pool, just I can't tell you without telling you. But I just want to say, I went down to Jamaica thinking that getting laid was the last thing on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to one of our dick listeners, I had a chance. I had a shot. I had a chance, maybe, because what are the odds that a schmuck like me is going to meet a woman in the pool that thinks I'm a good-looking guy and wants me to swim around with her and buy her drinks? Yeah, not until Mr. Dickhead, I'm from Washington, D.C., can I come up and then meet you and then stare at you and then pass judgment on you for the next 2.5 hours.
Oh, no.
And, Mike, I'm not even getting going because you don't even want to know. That's what I kept trying to figure out. Why was this happening to me? Why do I feel like I'm being scrutinized everywhere? Not until I went down to dinner the second night and I see in the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton, I'm staying at a nice place, right? Mm-hmm. What's it say? Welcome, Washington Post President's Club.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I go somewhere to get away from everybody.
Oh,
there's
no.
200 goddamn people from the Washington Post that are in the same hotel as me.
Oh, God.
And they're all going to the same places I'm going to.
Oh, God.
And they're looking at every goddamn thing I'm doing. And this one guy just screwed it up for me.
Is there going to be an article in the future?
I don't know. Oh, God. But I've got a lot to tell you.
Good.
Wow.
I've got a lot to tell you. And then leaving Jamaica. My God. Hello, third world country. You know what it was, really? It was like the running of the bulls. trying to catch an airplane in Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
When they say get there 4 hours before, they're not kidding.
Yeah,
it's,
really?
It's because there's only three people that work at the whole goddamn airport.
It's a mess.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay. Whew. So I'm ready to tell you more when we come back.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about that lady.
Can't wait. Lady.
Which one?
The lady that was letting you buy drinks for before the guy screwed it up.
Ah, but the lady in the gift store was a bitch.
Ah, okay.
She's first.
Okay. Right.
She's first, then the guy in the pool.
I'm waiting.
Let's be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get out of my leg! Get out of my leg! Get out of my leg!
Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You want to discuss now my favorite color?
And now, because there's nothing else on, the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Bam, 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 bam.
Great snare drum on this song.
I was just looking at the internet. Hey, that guy at DCR TV, really. Hey, dude, and I'm going to stop obsessing on it, and I know that you like all the hits you get, so you're welcome in advance. Again, my only complaint with your website is when you have people like Jim Farley, who's the program director of the news station, one of these guys that like wins like Marconi Awards, if it means anything,
mm-hmm.
and then prints a press release about how great he is.
Right.
Him or Bennett Zier, other radio guys, feeding you ratings information that's not actual.
Right.
That's not factual. That's my bitch
mm-hmm.
with DCR TV.
Legitimate.
So go ahead and write, Dave, that it's my monthly tirade about your site. That's really my only complaint. But as always, thank you for listening.
Yes.
Now,
yes, we appreciate that.
Now, here we go. I'm at the resort in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
A real nice place. Like I said, load, lifted, feeling good.
Right.
It's the very first night I'm there. I go into the bar, have a drink, have a Cuban cigar, legal in Jamaica.
Right.
Love it. Go into the gift shop. Think, well,
let me see, I can buy stuff for the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get like a Bob Marley something or other for Bart, you know, something for Buzz. Mm-hmm. They had like candles. Buzz, I didn't get any of that because, you know, I'm paranoid about that.
I didn't get you anything either.
I think the candles were made with hemp.
Uh-huh.
Even though they're selling them at, you know, at a way too expensive place.
Welcome to Jamaica.
So I was in the gift shop and I was looking around and everything is incredibly overpriced. Uh-huh. And it ended up being just me and one woman. And she was way across the store looking at some T-shirts. And the woman that was, no, don't get at the sexy music.
It didn't go there?
No, it didn't go there. Here's where I tried to help my first night in Jamaica. It's just, this woman ran the gift shop. And she's looking at the T-shirts. And she's this far away.
She's like 20 feet away from you?
She says, I'll take two of these in a medium. And if you've got one of these in a large, my room is 2320, and the name is Thomason. Thomm.
So she barks this across the room to the clerk?
A-S-O-N. And again, the clerk even says, what was the room? I mean, louder.
Right here, across.
2320. What was that sound?
That was my stomach. That was the growling in my stomach. Did you hear that?
I heard the gurgling, yes.
That was from too many donuts last night.
That's right.
So.
Those were the holes.
I say to the woman, I walk up to the woman, speaking of holes,
uh-huh.
I walk up to this
hole. You walk up to the woman who's yelling across the room.
Thanks.
And I say to her, hey, listen, far be it from me to give anybody advice, because I've made plenty of mistakes, but I found that it's best when you're in a place like this, don't be yelling your room and name number, your room number and your name across the room, because someone could take that information. And for instance, when you go to the bar, they don't ask for ID, they don't ask for any kind of a.
They just ask you for your name and room number.
Right, because they figure if you're there, if you're hiding behind the eight feet tall fences and the barbed wire, mm-hmm. they keep you away from everything that's bad in Jamaica.
Right.
Yeah, as long as you're in this safe sanctuary, like
behind the walls with the cut glass on top of them.
Right. As long as you're in there, you're safe. So you walk around this place. You don't carry any cash. You just sign everything in your room. I said, someone who was unscrupulous around the con, what they would do is they would hear that, and then when you leave, you'd check out, and there would be a lot of stuff on your bill. Now, I approached her just as friendly as could be.
Mm-hmm.
She then said to me, as her voice elevated back to the level when she was yelling at the woman, she said, and exactly what kind of person would know that to begin with?
Oh my God.
Unless it was someone who perhaps has done this before.
Wow.
And I said,
wow.
I said, lady, I am just trying to be helpful. I don't need your help. As a matter of fact, maybe I should call in the manager. I don't appreciate, and I walked away. Now, I saw her in the 4 days that I was in Jamaica. I saw this lady maybe twice more.
Okay.
And every time,
and in a way, you were strangely attracted to her.
Oh no, not an, I mean,
no, I'm kidding.
Not a nice.
I know, I'm just joking.
No, I'd see her, and now she really embarrassed me because, I mean, she started screaming at me, and I'm just trying to do this bitch a favor. So what happened was, the second day, then when I saw her the next day, I was sitting at the pool, and she walked by, and she saw it was me, and she was with some friends, and I know that they were doing the. I said, "Hi, ladies." You're giving like a, mm-hmm. touch of the brim of the baseball cap that I had on. I know they're saying about me, so I swear to God, you know what I did for the next 3 days? At least twice a day, when I got a drink, I charged it to 2332. And if she wants to come back after me, good luck, you stupid bitch.
Yeah.
Good luck, you stupid bitch.
Those are right.
And I'm talking, I went to the bar where it was not cheap, where if you like, good. Ordered a double vodka with cranberry juice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. $28.
Whoa.
Ouch. And you know what I did? I tipped generously.
Of course you did.
That's great.
The kind of guy you are.
And I even did it, even after I checked out of the hotel. I was waiting for the shuttle to take me to the airport, and I was just sitting in the hotel bar, like at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
Right.
And all the waiters and stuff, and the bar guys had gotten to know me. There's a shock.
Right.
So they're like, oh,
did you check out of your room, man? I said, yeah. And the guy was nice enough. He said, hey, this one's on the house. I said, no, you know what? This one's on
a friend of mine.
I said, and I'm going to leave you a big, big tip, but you can't say it was me. I earned one last drink, and I tipped the guy $50.
Brilliant.
So I'm pretty sure that during the 3 days after she yelled at me, I charged maybe $100 worth of, of drinks to her room. And listen, when I told you I had this revelation, it's like, this is what I'm feeling now. I don't care how bad that makes me look. That lady really pissed me off. And then the next day, I was really being as charming as I could be.
Right.
Good morning, ladies.
Yes.
And she gave me a look like, F you. And right away, I think, I know what this means, 2332.
Double vodka.
I called a guy over and I said, you know what? That Appleton rum thing you had, the pineapple juice?
Oh, that's good.
I'll take one of those.
It's a big fancy one.
Yeah.
With all the different liquors in it.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
But wait, this isn't that, but this is secondary compared to what happens to me next. I'm in the pool. Now, I'm in Jamaica by myself. And let's face it, you've seen my picture on the internet. I ain't George Clooney, okay? I was lucky to get someone as beautiful as Frida. I traded up. And I'm in the pool, and I'm just bothering nobody. It's mainly families that are there, but there are isolated couples, there are isolated single people, and there is a group of two or three women, I would say in their early 40s, late 30s. One of them, I'm just swimming out in the middle of the pool, one of them comes out to me and says, is that a Batman tattoo on your shoulder? And right away, I feel like an idiot. I go like, oh. Yeah, I said, God, I know it looks juvenile, but I really like that. She said, no, I really love Batman. She said, are you a big fan? Did you like the movies or what? So I start talking to this chick, right? Mm-hmm. And it turns out this woman is just drop-dead gorgeous. Celebrity she most resembles would be Demi Moore, but Demi Moore without all the face work.
Okay.
Like if Demi Moore had let herself just go naturally to 40 or whatever age it is that she is now. I mean, now I'm only seeing her from, you know, the shoulders up, and that's the only way that she's seeing me as well. So I figure she's talking to me like she likes me.
Right.
Right? And I'm thinking, you know, like this never happens to me. And then what I better do is I better make sure that she sees the whole package. So I say, I got to go to the bathroom.
Okay, that's a start.
And
you, you do have a way with the ladies. You do.
Well, I said, I have to go to the bathroom. I said,
and then you stayed in the pool.
As a way of breaking the ice.
Were you like Ruprecht?
No.
Excuse me. May I go to the bathroom now?
I said, I got to go to the bathroom, and I'm sure you don't want to feel the pool get warmer, so I'll be right back. Now, what this was I did have to pee.
Right.
And really, if she was someone I knew, I would have gone in the pool. But what it was it was a chance for me to get up and leave the water so that she could see exactly what 187 pounds of flab looks like.
Right.
So I got up and, you know, do that thing where you hike up your bathing suit.
And you were wearing a Speedo, right?
Pull it out of the crack of my butt a little bit, and I go to the bathroom and I pee and I come back.
That's like most Speedo.
Coming back towards the pool. What, Rob?
Did you leave the pool like Phoebe Cates in Fast Time? Bam, 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 bam.
So I come back, and now I'm not even holding my stomach in.
Okay.
I'm figuring I'm going to let her see exactly what kind of grotesque piece of flab is coming at her.
Honestly.
Because really, even though I've lost, in my opinion, almost 100 pounds, a tremendous amount of weight,
right?
I'm still a fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in size 36. I cannot move out of 36. I can squeeze into 34 jeans, but then it's like I'm taking my intestines and tying knots in them.
Right.
So I come out of the bathroom, and I'm noticing her now. She's standing in the shallow end, and I mean to tell you, Jug City. It's like I've really hit the jackpot. I can't believe it. This chick is beautiful. And while I've been in the bathroom, this place I was at was so fantastic. You can swim over on your little floaty to the bar in the pool,
right?
Where they give you drinks, and the floaties have drink holders in them.
There you go.
So you can actually swim around the pool and get effed up. It's great. She says, while you were now, I come walking back in, and she's waving at me like, hi. And I'm like, I can't believe this. She sees what I look like, and I'm still. So I come over, and she said, I ordered us a couple of drinks. The waiter's going, and a waiter swims out and brings you the drinks. She said, and I got a floaty. I thought that we could put our drinks in because it had two cup holders at the beginning. And she said, maybe if you wouldn't mind, you could, you know, I could lay on this and you could pull me around and maybe, like, put some water on my back. And I'm thinking, like, Lordy. Oh, my God, this never, I swear to God, this never happens to me. This is a chick, and she, and now hold on. This is just when I know it's almost too good to be true. She's looking at me, okay? Mr. Fugly. She says, you know what I really like about you? I said, what's that? She said, your beard. She said, how long does it take you to get it to look like that? And I said, I don't even follow what you're saying. I said, it took me like a year to get it as much as it is. Now she said, so many men try to have that look where it looks like it's coming in and it's not coming in. She said, you don't do that thing where you like four or five times a day go and... I said, no, this is like a year's worth of growth. She said, it looks so good on you. That gray beard looks so distinguished. And I'm like the whole... I'm like just, thank you, Jesus. Because now the guy is, the guy's swimming out with our drinks now. And we are now... I'm pulling her around on this mat while she's drinking. And she's got her hands actually around my neck. Because we're like in a, it's like 5 feet deep, okay, so I can stand, she can lay on her stomach on
So she's touching you in the pool?
Yes, and while she's like got her hands on my shoulders, she says, are you getting thirsty? And I said, a little bit. And she said, here we go, here's a drinky. So she would reach and actually put the cup in front of my mouth, and I would drink out of the straw, whatever this concoction was we're having. Anyway, I can't believe this, that there's this beautiful chick that is like not coming on to me, but... we're frolicking like real adults, and she's beautiful. She's got big jugs. She seems to like me. Then, out of the blue, a guy swims up in front of us, takes off his big goggles, sticks out his big, wet, ham hand, and says, Don? And I said, yes, how you doing? He said, Don and Mike Show? I said, yeah. He said, hi, my name is Ass. And I said, hi, Ass.
Ass of the Mountain.
I said, hi, Ass. You know, he said, you know, my last, like, my first name's Jiminy. And he's like, my last name's Cricket. And he's like, he said, I'm a big fan of the show. I can't believe you're here. And I said, well, it's very nice to meet you. And then he stared for a minute at me and stared at this woman who's, at this point, I had only gotten her first name, right? And he said, well, I see that you're busy. I guess I'll leave you alone. Have a nice day. So he swims away. And now this is not what pissed me off, because I say to her, because I think that this is like going to be more, I'm going to definitely, I'm like, now I'm thinking, oh my God, now she's going to find out that on some level, I've got some kind of notoriety going, right? So it's like...
So you think it'll be a good thing.
Right, so we like, I'm moving away from this area with her, and the pool's rather crowded, and she says, what was that about? I said, oh, I do a radio show with my buddy, and we're syndicated, but not really syndicated. And, you know, sometimes people just recognize you. I said, it's kind of a nice thing. And then I started telling, I said, people approach me because... they think that they know me because I talk about my life on the air. And I said, and then I started to tell her, I said, for instance, just so you know, I'm not like some masher down here. You know, my wife passed away 9 months ago. And like, this is amazing to me that you're even out here with me, that I'm so bad at doing this. And I can't believe we're talking. And then she said, turn the mat around. Turn it. She said, now very discreetly, just turn it around and look. And I turned around and I looked from her perspective. This guy had lined up by the side of the pool, him, his wife, 3 to 4 other people, and their kids. All of them, now she noticed this, not me, all of them staring.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about a lingering, like just a passing. I mean, it's like the lingering, the stare. And then at one point she said to me, because I said, let's play a game. Let's see if they're really, really following us. I said, let's do like the tennis thing, like pong. So I would pull her towards the left side, and we would notice that while they continue to pss, 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 that all the heads,
they're kind of checking you out,
would go to the left, and then they would all go to the right. And I guess after about 30 minutes is when I really have to thank this fella, when this beautiful woman that walked into my life out of nowhere said to me, you know what, Mike? because obviously I used my real name with her, because that's how slick I am.
Right.
She said, Mike, you seem like a very nice guy, and I'm really sorry to hear about your circumstances, and I'm glad that you're feeling better. She said, but I have to tell you that I'm a little skeeved out by the way that all these people are staring at us. I don't know if it's because of the relationship you had with your wife on the radio, or if because they're just crazy listeners or whatever. She said, but it's obvious they're staring, so I'm gonna leave now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, I said, okay, it was nice to meet you. I said, you're too good to be true anyway. And then she started to walk away. I said, you know what? Hold on. I said, screw them. I said, I'll walk out with you. I said, I'll walk out with you, and at least let's maybe meet for a drink or something later. And she said, okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And as we then left the pool mm-hmm. by the area where you walk out the steps, the dick that came up to me in the pool says, as we're walking out, hey, Don, enough that I have to turn. And I said, yes, sir. And then get out of the pool. He said, little soon after Frida, don't you think?
Oh, really? My God.
Wow.
And now at this point, she said, ooh, I don't even want to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice meeting you.
Ah.
Goodbye. So now this chick who I thought I was, obviously nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because now this friggin' dick who has said this thing to me, that just, like, how can you approach me and say that to me?
I can't believe that. That's amazing.
People do so.
Jesus, what an ass.
So anyway, and as it turns out, the guy that said it wasn't even the original guy. He was a friend of the original guy.
Friend of the group.
Because word had spread. And then, so I left the pool and it was like, God damn, I'm pissed at that guy.
Yeah, they must have been drunk.
I'm pissed at that guy. I'm so pissed at that guy. I'm never going to see that girl again. Well, then it's that night. It's that very night. And I go downstairs and I go to the bar and, she's not sitting there with those two other women. And I think, okay, I'm going to try again. Mm-hmm. So I walk up and I say, ladies, hi, it's me, Mr. Famous. I said, hey, I'm pretty sure that things. And I swear on Frida's grave, just as I'm talking to her, some other guy walks up and says, hey, Don, from Don and Mike, right? Now, this is a very nice guy.
So it's just kind of like because of the group that was there.
Now, at this point, I didn't know that the poster was there, right?
Right.
So now, I've approached this woman for a second time. And within like 30 seconds,
again,
some guy taps me on the shoulder. And I, unlike the other guy, this guy's very cool. He just says, hey, I just want to say I'm a big fan, been a big listener. It's nice to meet you. I said, it's very nice to meet you. And he walks away and she says, you must be much more famous than you were letting on. I said, really? You know, this never happens. And she said, well, I just got to say, you're a very sweet guy. And this is where I got the big blow off.
Yeah.
She said, you're a very sweet guy. You're very nice. But I don't, you know, everywhere you go, she says, been twice now. And people are like coming up to you. And obviously you're uncomfortable with it. And I'm uncomfortable with it. So maybe I'll see you around the pool. So it's like,
no.
So I'm leaving the pool. It's like, I get, you know, I'm just walking around going like, you know, Jesus Christ, God, I was feeling so much better, and then and I'm thinking, you know, how can this be? How come we don't have like a 100 share on the ratings?
Really, no, that's what I
can't.
Think.
I can't go to Jamaica without goddamn people like commenting on my life and saying hello to me. Not that that was a bad thing, but
right.
But,
no, it's a good thing in most circumstances.
It was at that moment as I walked past the sign that I saw Washington Post. President's Club.
Now, what is that?
Yeah.
Did you find out what that was?
Yes, I did.
What was it? It doesn't sound good. No.
Every ass that works at the Post that's ever written anything bad about us got a free trip to Jamaica. No, it had nothing to do with us. I don't know what it was.
They probably can't. From the behavior, they're probably the guys that deliver the paper.
When I asked at the front desk, they said that it had something to do with sales.
Circulation.
That it was that type of group. But I realized right away that I said at the front desk, I said, how many? They said, total 200.
So if they're connected, which they probably were, it spread like a little wildfire.
Right. So that just, you know, I thought, boy, oh, boy.
And you never saw her again.
Yeah, I saw her again, but then I was just like, Joe Pussy. Like
just waved at her?
No, I didn't wave at her. I walked away from her.
Oh, yeah.
Walked away. That's what a pussy I am.
Right.
Like the third day. I was just walking around, doing nothing really, walking around, just having a drink, and it's like, and I saw her, and it's like, I do that thing.
Where's Mr. Rourke to straighten everything out?
I do that thing where you just go, whoop,
Oh, no. Because it was that awkward.
Hope she didn't see. But I'm telling you.
But for a minute. So you had that opportunity. There was that moment.
Listen.
That moment in the pool where if nothing had been messed up, somebody screwed your karma up. Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, this chick was, I mean, she was it. She, you know, you always read about that like in Penthouse. I mean, I'm telling you.
So she was drunk.
Mike. Yes, absolutely.
It's bombed.
Drunk.
And then that guy kind of sobered her up, though. That's
she,
it.
No, she was, God, she was beautiful.
Really?
Wow.
She never got even, you know, no info, huh?
No, because I hid. I hid, and then I ordered drinks from that other lady's place. She pissed me off, too. You know, and then, listen, just last thing I'll tell you about Jamaica. You know, it's a wonderful island. I like it. I've been there with Frida. I like going by myself. I had a really good time. Good luck leaving. Let me say that to you. Good luck leaving.
What was the total time commitment getting out, getting from, like, your hotel to getting to sitting on the airplane?
The plane left at 4 p.m., and they said it'd be wise to leave the hotel at 11:15.
Wow. Yeah.
And I said, you're out of your mind. And the guy at the hotel said, I said, but I'm flying first class. Mm-hmm. I said, there should be a special line because I'm flying.
Like Vegas.
First class. And as it turns out, there is a special line, which is totally disregarded. Mm. When you get to the airport in Jamaica, there are, and I counted, there were over 100 people that were in line with their all of their baggage and everything, waiting to take flights out. There is one runway, only one runway, and behind the counter, three people working.
Right.
Three people working. Jesus. And there's a lot of people that were getting pissed. Like, as the hour turned into an hour 15, an hour 20, and the line had not moved at all. And the problem was there were these four extras from, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Uh-huh. These four punk asses that, for whatever reason, first off, they're standing in the first class line, which is pissing me off because they're not in first class. But I understand that at this point it's like a third world country, and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, there's no such thing as class for anybody. It's just, right. It's first come, first serve. It's law.
Call me when you have no class.
It's the law of the jungle. And I'm fine with that, except, well, I got to break. Except to say it pissed me off that they were just saying, like, oh my God. The paper tickets don't seem to match up with the computer tickets, so, like, we don't even know what's happening. And meanwhile, there are guys behind me who are
should have ripped their shirts open. They would have been just like Midnight Express.
There are guys behind me who are much more type A than I am, mm-hmm. who are saying stuff like, excuse me, ma'am, but I am in the premier class, and my plane
leaves... This is just to check in to get on the plane.
Yes, my plane leaves in 48 minutes, and I'm afraid that I must be... And she says, listen, man. You got to go all the way back to the end of the line, man. Now, keep in mind, the line goes out the airport.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Goes out of the airport, out to where you pick people up.
So there's really no way of avoiding it.
Oh, so what you finally had to do is what I had to do, which is be a dick. Just push my way up front. Mm-hmm. I pushed past, I'm not proud to tell you.
Right.
I pushed past
children,
young people, old people. Yes, and children.
Excuse me?
And children.
Nervous waiter, hot coffee, coming through.
I finally just got right up front and I said, hi, I'm going to be your Mr. Nope, no problem at all. Here's my ticket. I have no bags to check. Get me on this plane. Bingo.
You didn't have any bags?
No.
No.
I just had a carry-on.
Oh, cool.
It was just me. Just single me, man.
Sure, yeah, man.
No one to impress. You know, I didn't even bring a pair of long pants with me.
That's very cool. Very, very cool.
I didn't get laid.
But you came close.
I think I could have. I really think I could have.
I mean, if you'd worked it a little more.
I think I could have got her.
That sucks.
I think I could have gotten her. That's it. And and then the last thing I'm just going to tell you that I mentioned this before. I'm just so proud of my son that on his 21st birthday, it's funny, I talked to him a couple of times, including, I guess, the last time on his actual birthday at about 10 o'clock at night. And here's how the conversation went. I called him up. And he sees it's me, and he picks up the phone, and he goes, hello, Papa! And I said, hey, bud, how you doing? He said, he was just screaming in a bar, said, I'm doing great. I've got a designated DD.
Right.
You know, he said, things are great. Blah, blah, blah. I'm having a good time. Okay. Love you, Dad. Yeah, okay. Bye, 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 bye. Next day, I get the call in like 2 in the afternoon. I go, hello? I see it's him. I go, hey, what's happening? He says, it's hey, Dad. Did you call me last night? I said, yeah, I called you. You were at the Tiger Paw, whatever the bar is. I said, don't you remember? He said, no, I don't remember anything. I said, how was your 21st birthday? He said,
Oh, Dad, that was so great. I fell down on the street right on my face.
Oh, no. No serious injuries, I hope.
I said, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Dad, it was great. I was lying in the middle of the street. All my friends were laughing, and people were saying, what's going on? And I said, oh, I'm 21.
That's it.
Well, you'll turn 21 once.
So that's a burden lifted as well, you know, that he's out there. And anyway, that's my vacation. But, you know, I could have gotten laid maybe. And
but it sounded like you had a good vacation.
I'm going to go to the Ritz in Jamaica, room 2332.
Charge on. Let's continue to charge on.
Name is Thomason. If you know anybody over there right now, they're not leaving until Wednesday.
You got people getting tickets right now. They're going to fly down there.
Maybe you'll just want to call their room. just ask for the Thomasons.
That's right.
Just call the Ritz-Carlton Jamaica and ask for the Thomasons.
Wonderful. Right.
There you go. Now, that's all I have. Mike.
Yes.
Mike.
I went on vacation, too.
You did. Mm-hmm. And you took your gal pal and you went to Florida.
Yeah, I love it down there. I get my three favorite things in the whole wide world, which are golf, baseball, and, well, not necessarily in that order. I used to include fishing. I'm not including fishing anymore.
Huh.
Because I don't think I'm ever going fishing again. I had two fishing trips, one I didn't make and one I did make, and both experiences were less than satisfactory. As a matter of fact, you might say they sucked. They really, really sucked. Mm. And I went into the bowels of the redneck world deeper than I have ever gone. You know me. I've always considered myself the Connecticut Yankee redneck, right?
Deeper than like a Thursday night at your bar?
Yeah, absolutely. Far deeper. Not even anything close.
Look around cafe.
You take the biggest redneck bar I've ever been to in this area, multiply it by 50.
That would be O'Mara's.
That's right.
There's a plug for you,
that's the way
Mike.
I have to get a plug. I'll get it that way. That's good. That's the first one of since we've come back. Thank
O'Mara's
you.
Show bar.
It was. Now stop it!
Show bar.
No, used to be. Stop. Not anymore. Not anymore. We changed it.
I didn't say Opolis time.
You're terrible. You just start right again. But the new you, so I guess I'll tolerate it.
It's the old me!
It's the old you. Yeah, it's the old me!
It's
the old you!
It's the old me, but it's the new me.
But that was the story, the main story of my vacation.
Okay.
If anybody's ever been, the area that I went to,
mm-hmm.
even the name should say a lot. I wanted to go bass fishing, and it's Lake Okeechobee.
Ah, Okeechobee.
Mm-hmm. Come on, squeal. Squeal like a pig.
It's an Indian word for redneck.
Squeal real loud.
It was disturbing. And instead of making the situation better, I made it a lot worse.
Oh, no. Did you really?
Yeah. I compensated for my discomfort by making everyone else feel uncomfortable.
Hey, there you go.
And you know how that works.
That's my guy. Come on, squeal. Squeal.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll hear this when we come back. This is what you did in Florida?
Yeah. It was delightful. Good time was had by all. I can tell you everything else that went on. Kind of mundane. No, it was our trip to Lake Okeechobee.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank Carla for driving me home. We were going to stay overnight.
And you know what Ned had to say? That's what Ned had to say about that.
No!
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something that I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are. God bless you. You got a f***ing gift.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Yes, you do.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
What do you arrive at?
Living lovers. So giving. Don and Mike.
What do you arrive at?
All right, Carmel. Hey, Carm.
What do you arrive at?
Hey. All right, guys, we've not talked about The Sopranos tomorrow. And 24 tomorrow.
Yes. We all did our jobs and watched The Sopranos in 24 while we were on vacation, right?
Yep. And, well, I also got some help from people because I just was too busy, man. Too busy. So finally I just had to say, just give me the synopsis of 24.
Ah, very good.
Just tell me the synopsis. So all I heard was that Audrey Raines is not a bad person.
No, she's not.
And that the gas has been released, but
Jack might stop it.
Jack's going to save the day.
All right, Mike. Can. Mike, you're on vacation.
All right. Very quickly, I know we're short on time.
You're all right.
I wanted to set the table for leaving for vacation. I go to the same place all the time. I go down to Florida, and I play golf, and I go to Red Sox games, and I fish. That's what I do. In that order, okay? That's the order that it usually is in. And I should say that going down there...
Fishing is funny.
We had a very early flight on Sunday morning to go down. My weekend prior to leaving consisted of leaving here and going to St. Patrick's Day, the festivities, which were very festive, incredibly so.
At your Irish bar that you own, so you got... drunk on St. Patrick's night.
Not on St. Patrick's night. I was a little under control, but it was still very late because I had to get up and with my kids on Saturday morning and be in the St. Patrick's Day parade in Manassas that they were having, which this year falls the day after St. Patrick's Day. Normally there's a week apart.
Right.
After that, I drop my kids off and I have to go out to be the auctioneer for my kids' school because they're having a big fundraiser out there.
I've done that a thousand times at Bart's school.
And you know how that is, that you do that and afterwards you... I'm a little raspy to start with. And then doing the auction for 2.5 hours is making you more raspy. Following that, the one error in judgment I have, we have, I think, an 8 o'clock flight leaving out of National. Meant to really get our act together because we hadn't done anything because we were going like hell. We got up at 5:30 on Sunday. So I should not have done the auction and then left the auction and gone to my joint again for closing time. Because that's when all the work was over. The job was done, and
relax.
I could just chill out. And so,
just to recap,
Carla went home.
So people can follow this who don't totally understand your schedule.
Yes.
You worked your half day, as you always do, here on the show.
Worked my half day here at the radio.
Then you worked your half day at the restaurant.
I go home, I see my kids, I put my kids to bed, and go out to the restaurant for St. Patrick's Day.
So that's going to be the Mike's code word for drunk is festive.
We're up early, but I low-keyed it, even though it was late, it was not a crazy night.
Next day, you take your kids to be in the
parade.
Parade
ring. Drop the kids off.
The goddamn thing at the kids' school.
Go out to the auction.
Then, knowing that you have to get up at 5:30 the next morning.
Still, I know that it's all fun now, and I don't have to work.
Go back to the bar.
And that was the big error in judgment.
That's right.
Carla said that on the third time she came to try to get me up at 5:30, that I was like a toddler. I took my hands on the mattress, and I went, God damn it! Like that. And I just, because I was so hung and so tired, and I didn't want to go.
By any chance, are you into wine enemas? Change me, mommy.
I pounded my hands. I go,
change me, mommy.
Have you ever gotten that frustrated where you don't want to get up and you're like, God, I need sleep. I need to sleep. And I needed to sleep. I needed to sleep till about noon. But really, to really get a good night's sleep, it would have been 3 or 4 in the afternoon that I would have gotten up. So we're off to the airport, we fly down, and I am just, I do sleep on it. This will tell you the condition I was in. I slept on an airplane. Wow. How often have you ever known me to ever be able to sleep on an airplane?
But you must have been very...
I was tired. I was tired.
Statement. You must have been quite tired.
We land.
To sleep on the plane, my friend.
I was very, very tired. We land, and hey, am I a fan? Am I a super fan? We don't go home. We don't go to the house down there. We go right to the ballpark.
Right to the park.
Right to the ball yard. We left and it was 30 degrees. The temperature in Fort Myers, Florida, when we arrived in the middle of the day to go to the baseball game was 86 degrees. You would say to yourself, this is fantastic.
That's fantastic.
This is what you want.
Yeah,
but when we got to the seats and we were in direct sunlight, that is seriously when I think I began to, the outfield began to look like one of those mirages you would see in a movie. It was we made it through 4 innings. And after 4 innings, I didn't care that I'm the biggest Red Sox fan in the world. I got to go home. I mean, this is, it's insane. And I was driving.
Fallon wouldn't have done that.
Fever pitch.
That movie on vacation. He would not have done that.
No, he was terrible casting.
How did your mouth feel at that point?
I was just, my whole body, because it was great to be in the warmth. And I wore shorts and I was freezing when I got on the plane coming down.
What are you, a wise ass?
I am a wise ass. And I was, the last half mile. Getting home in Fort Myers, I was literally just going, I'm okay, I'm okay.
When you're driving.
Yeah, and I got home, and then the vacation began in earnest. It was wonderful. That really, the outside, before I tell you my story about my bass fishing trip, I will tell you that the old people down there, old people, first of all, this is nothing new. This is not news. Old people eat early, and so do we. We eat about 5 o'clock dinner down there. That's what the, you get
on dead yet.
You get up early, and you eat early. Old people down there that are down there all year, yeah. they don't want me down there. They don't want me coming in. I come in there. I pay my dues. I pay for my golf membership down there. I have every right to be down there, but I'm not part of the club. And the club is anywhere between, let's say, guys that are really, you know, have really made it and are like 55.
I call it double C. The Casket Club.
Well, there's some that are up there in that
that's
that range.
That's what Florida is.
But it ranges between 60, let's say roughly 60 and 75 average. That's the average. And, you know, I say this every year, I feel like that first day that I go to get in this little group and play with these guys, that I go through the same drill. And you know how many years I've been down there. I've been down there almost 7 years.
And when Mike says play, they play sexual role games.
Yeah. They do. We get strap-ons, and we have a very good time. And it's who's catching?
Hey, there's the magic word.
Yes.
Yeah, Mike is the first to say strap-on.
Strap-on.
$1.06
Delightful strap-on.
From 106 Strap-on FM.
But they don't make me feel welcome, and I know they're not really overt about it, but what they are is when I go to play golf, these guys, it's like you're the freshman going into the senior, cafeteria.
Right.
They have their clique, and it's just like, well, that's not the way we do it. Eh. And I said there was one sound that I gave Carla for the entire trip, and that was, eh. And I made that sound every time I'd see an old person doing anything. If it was the guy that was waving me by because I'm in his line of sight, I'd always go, eh, like that. Or if we'd be out on the highway and get cut off for the 3,000th time by some completely cataract-laden 90-year-old, I'd go, rah, because they're sitting there with their knuckles, with the bone practically protruding through the skin, knuckles at 10 and 2, just going, rah. That's what and it's gotten, and there are more of them now, because everybody, you know, here's a bulletin, society is getting older, and there are people that are living longer, and there are just more people down there. They're there, they eat early, they drive insanely now. They know, they used to be old people, the stereotype was, you have the fishing hat and the guys at 10 and 2 and they drive 5 miles an hour.
Right.
No, now they drive 90 miles an hour because the technology in these Cadillacs is much more significant and they drive faster and they can kill you and it sucked. But other than that, it was great. They don't want me there. I'm there. Hey, tough. Deal with it. And then it was the trip, the bass fishing trip. Before I went down, I got on a website because I've watched a lot of, I like fishing shows, believe it or not. That's something you might not know about
me. I didn't know that.
I like to watch little fishing shows on the weekend where you see these, you know, these men that are out there fishing for bass. And I said, you know, I've never been to this Lake Okeechobee they always talk about.
You can't spell bass without ass.
Yeah, that's true.
And I see that on Lake Okeechobee that they have these guided fishing trips. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, Carla, you know, we fish off the back porch and we catch bass. It's fun. Why don't we go get the real trophies and go out on this Lake Okeechobee? It's supposed to be the world-famous spot for bass. And she's like, yeah, she loves to fish, too.
So is that Marty Bass or Lance Bass?
Marty Bass. Drive out to Okeechobee, which is from where I am down there, 1.5 hours.
Okay.
We have a leisurely morning. I play, I think I maybe hit some golf balls. I think we leave 3 o'clock or so. We got there about 4:45. We drive, it's an hour. We drive through the middle of nothing. And you know how you've never been somewhere and you want to like see what's going on and see what the sights are. Well, the middle of the southern part of Florida is kind of flat, kind of agricultural, and there's really nothing going on.
Sounds like Beth Ann McBride.
We get closer and closer.
Kind of flat.
And kind of nothing going on.
Nothing going on.
And as we get closer, we look, and I notice this town has, it's got some fast food, so it's a bigger town than I thought it was. But the word that I had in my mind, this is what I had created, and I really didn't base it on any pictures or anything, was rustic. I said, we're going to go to like a fishing camp, and then maybe there'll be like a little motel and maybe some cabin-type places that
we'll
stay.
What are you thinking, like a perfect storm, like that town, in, even though it's Florida?
I'm thinking more lake. I'm thinking more cabin by the lake.
All right.
Thing. I'm thinking this is a lake where they, and it's rustic, I'm thinking. This is not rustic. This is like strip mall, you know, goes right down to the water, and you're like next to the water sewage treatment plant. We turn, first of all, we get lost, and then we turn down, and I see, and we got to the place that we were going to be staying, and I believe both of us simultaneously went, oh, no, 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 no. Because I'm not talking, I didn't expect fancy. I expected rustic. I didn't expect what looked to be just tattered, run down, and scary. It was scary. It was kind of scary. And we pull in. Already completely disappointed. We've driven an hour and a half. We've made a terrible mistake. We know this already. But this is one of those situations where, hey, maybe you'll be surprised. Maybe at the end of this, the next morning when we go out and fish, maybe this will be special.
A new day.
But we look at the rooms, and I said, I think that maybe the rooms are over there. And we look in on one side are what appear to be kind of almost cabin-like things.
Right.
And on the side that we're on are these rooms. There's paint chipping off the side. Some of the doors are open. Some of the windows are broken out. It's just a very strange place. So I walk into the gift shop, the Bass gift shop, where they've got all the Bass shirts and the Bass t-shirts and
Bass.
And they've got lots of Bass on the wall, and they even have a tank in the middle of it with a Bass in the tank.
Wow.
I'm like, hey, you know, it's all about the Bass.
Yeah.
This is going to be something special. And I walk up to the counter, and there is a woman behind the counter. The best way to describe her would be Shrek meets Lulu from Hee Haw meets, I'm trying to think. She had blonde, greasy, stringy hair, and she had three teeth on the right side and maybe one tooth on the left side.
Hello!
I loved it. Fast forward, because this will be the best mouth that I look at on a woman down there. So this is what, and her back is turned to me. And this is how we're greeted there.
Yeah.
And I look, I'm not trying to be a dick. I look around. I look at, because she has said
yeah
to the wall that's in front of her. And I'm standing at the counter, and she goes, she's got her back to me. So
okay.
She goes, yeah. And I said, and I'm looking, and Carl and I are both standing
there. You're looking at her back, right?
And I said, and then she turns around angry because the yeah was apparently directed to me. And so she turns and goes, yeah. May I help you?
He's trying to give you some attitude.
With this mouth and this overall fat cow just stares at me, and I'm like, yeah, we're here to check in. She goes, Nate. And I'm so
lucky.
But here's the thing. I make an ass comment, right? I say to her, and I swear to God, I said, well, aren't you a charmer? And she says, and all of a sudden, she cracks a grin from ear to ear. I've given her lip, and that's what she wants.
Huh.
So she goes, what's your name, honey? And I said, O'Mara.
Yep.
Room 110. Room 110 is right outside. You're on the lower level. And I'm like, oh, the lower level. Yeah, because, you know, when you're in a joint like that, you want to be on the lower. You're in the lower level. I say to Carla, as she's filling out the paperwork, I said, I asked before, because this is what I do when I check my little vacation schedule. I said, is there a bar at this place? She goes, there's the Tiki Bar.
Tiki Bar.
And I said, I'm not going to the room. Carla says, I'm not going to the room. I said, yeah, we're going to go right to the bar. We'll see. Maybe they have some food. We'll go right to the bar. We said, yes, darling. Yes. And so she gives me a little thing. I fill it out, and we go. We get our little paper cover on our little room thing, and we know what room we're going to be in. And we are in, I think we're like two doors down from the one that has the broken window. And so we go out to the Tiki Bar, and I said, there's only, and really, this was my mindset. And you know that I'm a legendary alcoholic anyway, but what I said was, I said this to Carla, and thank God she agreed with me because we were both in the same situation. I said, the only way this is going to be a good afternoon for us is if we begin drinking right now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nothing will happen, and it will be horrible. And so we get there. A woman is sitting at the corner of the bar. There are probably four people. There's a woman in between two men. The two men, you know, I know it's a stereotype, but the two men look like they've just come off the set of Deliverance. They're sitting there. And this woman, in her mouth, separated by like an eighth of an inch, are four teeth that stick straight out.
Oh.
Straight out. You can't. I'm across the bar and I'm looking at her mouth. I can't take my eyes off her mouth.
Like goofy
because I thought they were goofy too, but you know what? I didn't think they were goofy. I knew they were real.
Too bad.
I knew they were hers. And it just
I'm not beautiful ladies in Chicago.
But we sit down. We order some beers and we start to talk to the local couple. the local couple who will be also the most pleasant kind of semi-normal people we have, but they're the guy's a local. And he's talking, you know, that he's just one of these good old, but like a bass guy. And I'm right. talking to him. He's telling me all about this stuff. He starts to tell me about a party they had last week where David Allen Coe played. And they were at he said, we heard about a mud party. And apparently a mud party is where they four-wheel through the mud and they do the mudding. And everybody brings their pickup trucks. And he just volunteered this. Yeah, they had a mud party. This guy's got a piece of property right over there. They had a big act. They got a big act. David Allen Coe came down there, and he told me that the local hospital was overwhelmed with people because they had a fight. They had a huge fight. All right. So they leave and they go to another place, and they said, "You should, you know, come down. The real nice place is just down there, this inn." You said, and it was actually a nicer place that we drove by. It wasn't the place I picked to stay.
Continue while this goes. We just have to open up the news.
Then another guy comes by. This guy has a cowboy hat on and a big belt buckle and like a big loud striped shirt, and he starts talking to me. I'm taking you up until the point where I lost my memory. He's talking about Costa Rica, and he's going on a trip to Costa Rica, and he's a local. He's been here. So Costa Rica is where you want to go. You can get a condo for nothing there. He's going to Costa Rica. All right. Then two guys, a Mexican guy and another guy with a cowboy hat and no teeth, they come down and start talking to Carla about dogs. Well, Carla loves dogs. That's her favorite subject. They talk to her about at this point, I buy these guys a shot. And that's when I started to get a little bit wobbly, the way the evening ended.
Yeah.
Because we're there at 5 o'clock. This is 11 o'clock at night now. When
6 hours later,
I got into something. A guy was made a comment about Carla because Carla, you've seen Carla. You know, she kind of stands out at this particular joint. She stands out in any joint, but she stands out in this joint.
Agreed.
And I got into it with this guy and. Another big guy with a cowboy hat, apparently in the wee hours of the morning, I don't know what time. Carla could probably tell you what time we left. I don't remember. Walked over, put his arm around me and her, and leaned into her ear and said, "You might want to get him out of here." and then Carla...
Talking about you, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, because I was just apparently... I had compensated for my discomfort by making everyone else uncomfortable.
Oh, you turned angry.
Carla says... she says to me...
Johnny, get angry.
Yeah, Johnny got real
Johnny
angry.
Johnny, get mad.
And Carla says she doesn't want to go back to the room because too many people have been asking if we're going back to the room. So Carla put me in the car and drove me home back to Fort Myers. I woke up at 10 o'clock in the morning with the phone ringing. This is a bass fishing trip. You had a trip scheduled to go out at 7 o'clock in the morning. You didn't show for it. This is the big fat lady that you liked but didn't like. And we never did that, and we never got a bass. We never caught a bass. But that was the high point of my trip.
But, hey, listen, at least you didn't, kick someone's ass or get your own ass.
I would have got my own ass kicked. I think. Well, the guy, I think, I have a vague memory of the guy that, it might have been the Mexican guy. It might have been the guy sitting next to him. Carla said I was apparently being mean to a guy that wasn't even partying. Yes.
It was the Mexican guy.
It was the Mexican guy.
Yeah. It's always the Mexican guy.
I want to say, mucho sorio.
One man found a way to bring good news
to
his people.
Stop staring at girlfriendio's assio. Thank you.
Right. Now, Buzz?
Yes. That trip was great.
Listen, on tomorrow's episode, we will get inside Buzz's vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Because Buzz pushed his wife again.
Yeah, he's hurt her again.
Well, it really was an accident.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tomorrow. Right. But now news and comments.
Yes.
And Buzz,
yes.
What are your lead stories you're working on tonight for us?
Tonight, where have all the spring breakers gone? Whatever happened to hanging out in Crawford? And what's yellow and lives in a bottle by the side of the road?
Probably somebody's urine.
Good guess. Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
Can I help you?
That's a
pisser. Can I help you? Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the bottom floor.
I tell you, your girlfriend is a
keep her.
Because imagine that. Yeah. There you are.
I took her to like four different redneck joints.
All drunk and getting ready to get into fights with people.
And really what was, I don't know how she got me out of there. I really don't know. Because really somebody said, you know, you at another like redneck place, I told the same story and some guy said, you could have been gator food. Gator food.
That was all very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike
What's
Show.
The word from Planet Crackpot?
All right, I think we got that, right?
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Okay.
What are you, Eliza?
The bleaching keeps them pink. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Time now for buzzes, news, and comments. Buzz brought to us by the Visa Business Card. Business takes efficiency, whether you're paid by debit or credit. Visa Business helps you get things done. Your business is your life. Life takes Visa. And now here is Buzz Gridley, the wife pusher. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. It was quiet in Daytona Beach this year. The spring breakers went somewhere else. A couple of co-eds from the D.C. area's Towson University hadn't gotten the word. Quoting 21-year-old bikini wearer Dana Wassum, I thought it would be more crazy, like wet T-shirt contest. We wanted to enter, but we couldn't find any. The mayor told MTV...
That's a sad story,
it
bud.
Is.
It is a sad story.
Mayor told MTV to never return after it made his city the number one spring break destination. The previous hotspot was Fort Lauderdale, but after that mayor told students to stay away, they migrated to Daytona, where there was more drinking and death and high school girls exposing their breasts. Now, Daytona's successfully run them off. But Daytona still likes the NASCAR crowd and bikers. Daytona Beach plans to keep Bike Week. Bikers cause less trouble than students, and they spend more money.
Absolutely.
Apparently. Bikers rock.
I saw a piece on, I guess, on CNN about spring break,
right.
And they were talking about some of the stuff you're talking about, and they had some video of Bike Week down to Daytona. And they had all these guys on their Harleys, and one of them had one of those blow-up love dolls with the big, round, like, suck mouth that's open, and... The people on the news were making no notice of the fact that for 30 seconds, all I could really focus on was a naked, F-me blow-up doll that's on the back of this guy's hog.
That makes falling down softer. Lauderdale.
Nobody at Bike Week will jump out of a motel, I don't think. I don't think that happens during Bike
they
Week.
They have a lot of accidents, though.
They have, motorcycle accidents.
Yeah, right. Lauderdale and Daytona are still in the top 10 of spring break towns, but these days the kids are kind of spread out. On the California side, Palm Springs is still quiet after former Mayor Sonny Bono banned cruising and thong bikinis.
That boner.
I'm
talking, of course, about him hitting that tree.
That's right.
What a boner that was.
He pulled a real big boner.
He pulled a big boner that day.
Certainly did.
The ultimate. We sprang forward over the weekend, and a kid in Fort Wayne, Indiana, found a way to cash in on that. 18-year-old Evan Kelso charged older people $10 to change all the clocks in their houses and cars. For an extra buck, he'd install...
Do it for me. What do I do?
For an extra buck, he would install new batteries where necessary. Evan not only cornered the market on people over the age of 30, this was Indiana's first year statewide to join the rest of us on daylight savings time.
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
No.
You're kidding me that the last bastion...
Yeah, Indiana went along with everybody this year.
It was like patchwork.
I didn't know that. Yeah, because... As a matter of fact, my daughter, who talk about another just piece of shocking news, will turn 30 this year.
Wow.
30. She was born in Indianapolis, and we were commenting about how, over the vacation, I was talking with her, talking about how that's one good thing about Indianapolis, is that they never change the clocks, but now they're changing them.
And they don't snow there.
Oh, that sucks. That just sucks. Although they had awful weather.
By the way, something.
Yeah?
Why you care?
What about Indianapolis?
Yeah, the time change. I mean, normally
I love the fact that Indiana always bucked the system.
Independence.
But was it always the same time in Indiana?
Yes, Indiana always...
Depending on which county you were in.
Indiana always.
Right.
At least where I lived in Indianapolis, you never changed your clock.
Right.
And it saddens me to hear that Indianapolis, and I'm guessing that part of Indiana, they've caved now.
Yes, they have.
It sucks. And incidentally... just so you're wondering, because I know you all like just basing your entire life around what I think and what I like.
We do.
This is the preferred time zone. This is the time zone that we should be on 24 hours a day, all days. You know, 365.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
I've come over to your thinking. I like it. This is it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't upset the apple cart when we make this change, but when we make the other change, it's like, you know, you're going into darkness.
And people like the other one because they think,
you get to sleep more.
Yeah, because it's the immediate gratification. You get 1 hour of extra sleep.
That's like, that lasts you one day.
Listen, right now we're on the time that I've been operating on for the last 6 months.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's always been 6:32.
We've finally come
like
around to
call it DONI time.
Yeah, right.
Donnie time.
Correct time.
And just around the bend in South Bend, Indiana, they're learning that West Bend doesn't make flat-screen TVs. The latest crime wave to hit the Midwest has suckers buying oven doors that they think are flat-screen televisions. The fake TV even comes with a power cord and a remote all wrapped in bubble stuff. One woman who bought one actually thought she'd found a good deal on a flat screen.
Hold on. An oven door.
An oven door.
Do you have a picture
of
this?
The window? No,
yeah,
I know
what it looks like.
Yeah. Fool people.
You're not making this up.
No, true story.
I bet they're going,
eh. It's an actual crime wave. Quoting South Bend Detective Sergeant Jim Walsh, it was actually an oven door. He's alerting citizens to beware of the scam and about a recent rash of oven door thefts.
I let you have this flat screen for $10.
Between the TVs and the oven door thefts, there may be a connection.
Mm-hmm. People are really effing.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, really?
Women cried and stomachs turned over the weekend during the showing of a new movie preview in theaters just before the feature Inside Man.
Oh, Ice Age 2?
The preview is for a 9/11 movie called United 93, a movie that has the cooperation and support of the families of the victims. But when the preview hit the screen in a Hollywood theater, a few people shouted, "Too soon! Too soon!"
Yeah,
so imagine what it was like for New Yorkers. One theater there has now pulled the preview. Quoting the manager, "I don't think people are ready for this." Quoting a moviegoer, "It gave me the creeps." What's yellow and lives in a bottle at the side of the road? Well, I believe you've already answered that.
I know. That would be the specimen.
Now, you're in luck. We have the answer to how much of it lives there. In Ohio, they've held the problem up to the light and studied it, and now it's clear. Nearly a million bottles of urine are dumped along Ohio's roadsides every year.
Okay. Now, bottles? Who's dumping bottles of urine?
They call them urine bombs, or they also call them trucker bombs, because a lot of truck drivers don't want to stop. They're on a schedule.
Oh, I got you.
Empty bottle, toss it out the window.
They just go in the Gatorade bottle.
Exactly.
Okay.
The number one problem is not the state's number one problem, but pissed off lawmakers are considering a fine.
You're doing that thing now.
He is.
Now, this is not like when you're neck stepping. This is when you do that other thing where you're
dancing.
Yeah, you're funny.
Yeah.
You're being funny right now.
They're considering a fine of between $150 and $1,000.
Because he keeps saying number one, and then he says it pisses him off. See, get it?
And too bad, if you have a chronic bladder problem, repeat offenders could have their driver's licenses suspended.
All I know is don't drink that stuff you find on the side of the highway.
No, that ain't Gatorade.
That's not Mountain Dew.
No. On the roads, meanwhile, chubby children are not fitting safely into their car seats. The number of obese offspring in the U.S. is expanding.
Brad.
Because of that, hundreds of thousands of chubby toddlers are more likely to get hurt in a crash. So says a study from Ohio State University.
I picture that kid from Bad Santa.
I have to go to the hospital!
The study found that more than 280,000 kids under age 7 don't fit into most of the child safety seats on the market.
Take me today to get a new toilet seat because mine got broken and it was sliding.
You just stay quiet back there, Rosie.
What for?
Because I said so. Daddy's driving.
All this boring clothes. What, am I scaring you?
No, just keep it down, please. All right?
I'm going to go to Elma now. I'm going to catch a bus with Rick.
I said keep your voice down, please.
She's not really, not really fitting in the
scene.
Yes. Keep your voice down, Rosie.
No.
Rosie, keep your voice down.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I don't want
everyone
you to talk anymore.
You're weird.
I'm not weird. I'm driving the car now. Shut up.
You know me.
What?
I'm fussy.
Yeah, you're fussy. You're going to be fussy. I'm gonna throw a urine bomb back there.
How bad is that?
Oh, the seats that do accommodate.
Be realistic, Rex.
The seats that do accommodate big-boned bambinos are too expensive for low-income families. The special seats had cut in half the number of tragedies, but they only work if the kid fits into it properly.
Shut up! Shut up!
I love you, I have to go catch a bus!
And when we come back,
yes?
A naked man, a spider, and an explosion.
Fantastic. Sounds like a hot tub party. It buzzes up, it buzzes the apartment complex.
Yeah, right before he pushes his wife.
Be right back. Yes, and tomorrow you tell us about what you did to her,
the
right?
The latest accident?
Yes. Okay. What is something about a hot tub?
No, no.
What was the story?
Oh, I don't know. It's not important.
What is the next story?
We're done here.
No, what is the next? Didn't
oh, about a naked it? Man, a spider, and an explosion. Right. That story.
In your hot tub. We'll be right back.
Thinking about the accident.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
It's huge. Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. On the other side of the fleshy fun bridge, you will find the Don and Mike Show.
No! Look at that. Who just saved my big fat ass right there? Look at that.
Robbie Spiewak.
That's right.
Who's the man in the casino today?
That's right.
Robbie is.
Who's the best producer in radio in the 6 p.m. hour? Rob Spiewak. Thank you, Rob.
What I really shine.
Saved my ass. You won't know. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We're coming back from the break, and I was naked.
And right. And Rob ran in right before the break and put pants on you.
I had no elements ready. Mm-hmm. Have you no elements?
What's an element?
Have you no jingles? Have you no stagers?
Those are all the sounds that we play when we come back.
I had none of that ready. Until I felt that reassuring hand on my shoulder.
Yes.
Friend, it's jingle time.
There it is.
I said, oops, and I pressed the button on the computer thing, and then he...
You said, oops, there it is.
And he did it by hand.
By hand.
There you go.
Way.
Good boy, thank you.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
And now once again, here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Finally, a naked man.
No.
Yes?
We're going long tonight.
All right.
5 minutes.
Okay.
Did you explain this to him?
I did.
Okay, then it's him, not you. You're a great producer.
Thank you. God damn,
you're great.
I gave him a post-it.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. Despite the difficulties it's faced over the last year, ExxonMobil has replaced Walmart at the top of the Fortune 500 list.
Buzz, I apologize. You're not an idiot, but I did enjoy your response. You're like, F you, yeah.
We're actually back a little earlier than the post-it note had indicated, if I understand it correctly. Profits were up 25% to over $36 billion. I told him I had 25 seconds worth of material when we came back.
For the last break.
We're doing another break between...
Let me check my notes. Let's just get all the dirty laundry out there. We're going long today, but because there's no way around it.
Yeah, we didn't want to just have like a tiny little content break and then play commercials for the last
time.
Not like we haven't done that, you know, but hello, I just think that today's like the day to start changing that, so.
Yeah. Okay, then.
So now...
Well, my apologies. I see now my mistake.
Now take this more many minutes.
You got it.
Okay.
Despite the difficulties it's faced over the last year, ExxonMobil has...
Because we already spent this many minutes talking about it.
Yeah.
The way you said that made me laugh. This more many minutes. You held up a hand.
That I understood.
Okay.
ExxonMobil has replaced Walmart.
Everybody bear with me. You see, I had a revelation over this.
You had an epiphany. Right.
Really, over this vacation. It's just a lot of the stress with Frida has been lifted.
Good.
And I'm just feeling a little more like myself.
Good.
That's all. You're great.
No, you're great.
No, you're great.
You're great.
You've really done great.
You're done great.
How you doing over there, Buzz?
Hi.
I'm going to buy you a watch for your birthday.
That'd be great.
A nice big watch.
Despite the difficulties it's faced over the last year, ExxonMobil...
I don't care. I'm here.
You're the man.
I'm here.
You're the man.
You're the man.
You're the man.
No, you're the man.
I said to Mike, we are running late today, which means we are going to have to stay past 7 p.m. And Mike said... No effing way. I'm out of here.
That's funny. That's such a lie.
Bye, Mike.
Good night, Mike.
See you tomorrow.
Drive carefully.
No, Buzz, really, I'm sorry that there was some type of screw-up.
My fault. I understand now.
Well, you're right about that. Yeah. But once again.
Now, this, I'd like to remind everyone, this is content. You might think we're fooling around here. This is content, too.
And damned entertaining.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a little behind-the-scenes glimpse into how the show works. So technically, you know, we got to the point in the show where somebody, I don't know, some ass talked too much today.
Mm-hmm.
Hello,
I'm sorry.
Who could that be?
I'm sorry.
I know, Mike. You took like 17 whole minutes today to talk.
Very sorry.
I'm sorry. I had kind of diarrhea of the mouth. I had a lot to get off my big flabby man boobs today. And as it turns out, we're running late, and then we would be in the situation. We'd have like 1 minute. Buzz could say, "Hi, Bush is an idiot," and then we'd have to break for commercials.
Right.
So
that would have been right.
Today we're just. Today's going to be the first day that we push past seven.
Thank God.
We push.
We're not in that situation.
Push in the bush.
Despite the difficulties it's faced over the last year, ExxonMobil has replaced Walmart at the top of the Fortune 500 list. Profits were up 25% to over $36 billion. Other oil companies also made the top 10. Frankly, I don't know how they did it.
And it's going up. I got news for you. I mean, I know that's not a bullet.
I noticed.
I'm just basing that on my most recent fill-up, which is getting obscene again.
Are we getting close to the Bush's Magic 3 again?
Yes.
For super premium unleaded?
Yeah, I put the champagne stuff in there, the real good stuff, the 9.3 stuff.
Right.
And it sucks. I'm sorry, I'm upset.
Now that this many more minutes is up, I'll tell you about a naked man, a spider, and an explosion when we come back.
There you go. When we come back, you have that many more minutes more.
All right, I'll talk slowly.
Okay, or, you know, listen, if you want to do that.
It makes no difference. I don't know what we're doing.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.